This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
I can't go on, baby. I can't be strong, baby.
Dean Becker, producer of the 420 Drug War News, Cultural Baggage, and Century of Lies. You want to hear the real truth? Do you want to know what's really going on? You know you'll never get the whole truth from Fox or MSNBC. Cheerleaders for war, for profits, for charlatans, for ratings alone. If you value the worth, the spine, the truth of Pacifica Radio, please show your appreciation. Show your support for KPFT, the station that was twice bombed off the air and rose out of the ashes to become a beacon of light and a purveyor of truth.
You're listening to KPFT 90.1, Houston.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the Saturday, August 11th version of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. And what? What are you doing? You're pressing the numbers.
I was just making sure the one's there. Over.
Oh.
It was still on TT.
Oh. That's for turntable, folks. We have knobs that do double duty here. That sounds familiar. Okay. We have got a packed show tonight. And listen to me, Robert, while I'm telling this.
Okay, right.
Yes, I haven't checked your email.
Because,
what did I
hold on. We've got Reese's coming in.
Allegedly.
We've got, they haven't missed yet. We've got the mother of Montrose, because she is going to talk about her very first fundraiser show as the mother of Montrose, Miss Morgan Fairview. Then we've got a very special segment that we're putting on because there has been a bashing in our community. And we have the victim here tonight. We're going to talk to her. Judy Reeves is here, is going to conduct that. And after that, we've got Leather Ties with Robert Tichy and Robert Helms and a whole bunch of other people, I guess.
Author of Resurrection, Buzz Lawson.
And yes.
And the Mystics are going to crash.
And they can't hear you. You have to talk more directly.
And the Misfits are going to crash.
Oh, good. Also. Okay, that's so good.
We'll have a good time tonight on Leather Ties.
And on top of everything, and after that, Gigi might be here for her segment. We may have to put her off till next week. And it's pledge drive.
Yes,
it's our summer pledge drive, folks. And, of course, you did very, very well last week when we asked you to call in and give your support to After Hours and KPFT. All we had to do was give the number a couple of times. We didn't have to go into some long-winded crap that you don't want to hear that you've been hearing now during the week.
713-526-5738.
That's right.
713-KPFT. 713-526.
And if folks do that, we can get on with this show. So that is 713-526-5738. We have a very modest goal for a 3-hour show.
Boy, I never thought I would hear the word modesty on this show in the same sentence.
Yeah, I know. Well, then again, you know, after, you know, the first, third, and fifth Saturdays is Hot and Bothered, and we're pretty modest after that show, I'll tell you. Anyway, some things going on in the community that we want to talk about. First of all, GCAM will hold a special membership meeting at 3:30 on Sunday, August the 12th at the home of Jimmy Carper. Yes, this will be in lieu of the first Monday meeting, which is when meetings are held normally. All are welcome to attend. If you need instructions or address, please email chair@gcam.org or vice chair at gcam.org.
Hold on a second.
What?
Let me see that.
Well, that's what it says.
It's a dash?
It's a dash. It's not an underline.
Okay.
Underscore.
What? Okay.
I have to keep him. Yeah.
He knows that I know nothing about computers, so he has to check on me.
Yeah, yes. He knows how to organize his pornography even more anally than I do.
Yeah, but that's all alphabetical.
Well, that's important stuff. Ah! Oops. XD. I hope Judy didn't hear that.
Judy.
Anyway, there is a lot of stuff going on tomorrow. So we have that meeting. We have Mother's Firstborn, which is Morgan Fairview's show that's happening tomorrow. She's here, and she's going to be telling us about it. Also, Daddy Don Dalton's Dynamic Dog Days of Summer. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's D to the 6th.
Usually you have to go to a place known like, you know, with the Hooters or Tiddlers to get something that's a 6D like that. Or a triple double D.
Yuck.
Nah, just find someone on the street to inject.
Yeah, there you go. And that's happening later on this evening at 7 p.m. at the BRB. As always, the proceeds will go to the PWA Holiday Charities, and the show will be full of camp, silly, sick, and twisted humor performed by some of Houston's finest entertainers. We are looking forward to seeing you on Sunday. Yes, so, wow, that's a whole day planned out right there, isn't it? Yes, it is. And you have something that's happening also later on this evening.
Yes, Comets Music Grill and Chillin' Houston Women's Festival on Sunday.
Sunday.
August 12th. Come and share in the fun with the Houston Comets and the Houston Women's Festival. Join forces for a game day kickoff party at Chances, 1100 West Timer from 4 to 8 p.m. Comets reps will be giving away cool stuff like game balls and jerseys. They'll have live entertainment, and the Chances team will be grilling and chilling, serving burgers, hot dogs, and dollar vodka.
Ooh.
The musicians you're going to be hearing is Los Angeles-based Holly Light. Has her own delicious mixture of spicy pop, raw ballads, blackened blues, delivered with guitar chops of a seasoned pro.
Blackened blues? Okay.
I swear, it sounded like, you know, it sounded like I was reading off of something from next door to them when it used to be Charlie's.
No kidding.
Austin's fastest emerging artist, Susanna Schofel, brings elements of jazz, funk, hip-hop, rock, and folk, delivering her own uniquely style. Uniquely her own.
Yes.
So that's Sunday, August 12th, 4 to 8 at Chances. For more information, go to hwfestival.org or chancesbar.com.
Okay, now for my COH. We've got, of course, Breakfast at Mary's at 10 a.m. On Wednesday is the weekly jukebox show starting at 8:30. And then Thursday and Saturday will be your opportunity to vote for the new Emperor and Empress of ICOH, the Space City Empire. And early voting is Thursday at EJ's from 4 to 9 p.m. And then on Saturday, voting will be held at Legacy Health Community Health Services at 241. Doesn't matter. It's
Hey, if you know where the old Montrose Counseling or Montrose Clinic was, same place. Or if you're even familiar, if you were a client at the other hotel that was there beforehand.
Westheimer. It's this 200 block of Westheimer. I mean, you know, it's where, you know, Elgin.
Just before the spur.
There you go. And that's happening from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And of course, that Friday will be a candidate show at 9 p.m. at Mary's Naturally. Then Corona Productions, this is happening next Sunday. Corona Productions presents Miss Space City Gay Pride Pageant. That's happening at 7 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. MC is Miss Lillian Devereaux. Special guest is Miss Southern Comfort, Miss Vicky Holliday, Mr. Jose Silvas, Mr. Gay Pride 2008, Miss Marsha Mink, Miss Anne Marie Gill, Miss Lily H. Crawford, and other guests. Now, there is a $50 entry fee, but the cash prize is $150, and you get a crown and a sash, girl. So, applications and info, contact Joe Corona at 832-892-5376. And as I mentioned earlier, this is Pledge Drive for After Hours in KPFT. So that number to call is 713-526-5738. 713, actually, JAM KPFT.
Yes.
Now, with that in mind, we've got a guy here who's just made a very generous pledge to After Hours, and he happens to own a business. So, can you, who are you, and what is your business?
What kind of business?
Yes, what is this?
I own a land surveying company. And
who are you?
My name is Johnny.
Hello, Johnny.
Hello, how are you?
And you're kind of a semi-regular here now, aren't you?
I am absolutely a regular.
This is the guy who's in the leather pants.
I'm addicted to the radio now.
Uh-huh.
Or Jimmy, one of the two.
Aww.
But my name is Johnny, and
yeah.
The name of my business is One Stop Land Service, One Call to Get It All.
Ooh.
And I am in land surveying, real estate mortgage. So if you're buying, selling, refinancing, you might want to check out my website at www.onestopls.com.
Okay, always like to keep it in the neighborhood.
Of course, of course.
And we're going to be talking to you next week more about that.
Absolutely.
Because this is a service that you provide to the community.
Absolutely.
So I want to hear more about that.
Wonderful.
And thank you so much for your pledge.
Thank you very much. And they should check out your pictures on that website.
Oh, yes. Yes, what is that website again? Because my picture is there.
It's onestopls.com.
Onestopls.com.
That's right.
Cool. Okay.
We'll get some more pictures of you up there soon, hopefully.
Thank you. Thank you. And let's see. No Arisas, folks? Okay. Arisas is proud to prove... Well,
they're Arisas.
Yes, I know. So, you know what I should do? I should just go right into...
Sasha your ass in the other room.
Yes.
And while he's doing that, I'll push other buttons.
Continue
this. I had music I could have played.
Let me stick it in.
He says it to all the guys.
I don't know who I'm undoing. Here we go. There. How's that?
I hear you. Do you hear me?
I do indeed.
Oh, good. Now I can go... feedback. Oh. Love that.
Okay, folks, I didn't tell you before, but each one has a volume. And you just
turned me off.
You must be number one, honey.
Okay, and Jimmy?
Yes.
Your diamond earrings are...
No, it's ruby tonight.
Yeah, well, they're causing the earmuffs not to fit, so you're feeding back.
Okay. I do have Morgan Fairview with me. Hello, dear.
Hello, Jimmy.
That's nice to see you again.
It's always nice to see you.
We have actually known each other a very long time.
Yes, many years. when we were both very young.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Bowling and all of that stuff way back when.
Charlie's after the bar.
Yep, yep, yep.
Eating those horrible eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a restaurant that started out good and just went downhill really fast. But since you are also with both of you, you have someone else with you.
I do. I have Yorkie Wood with me.
And hello, Yorkie.
Hello.
Welcome to After Hours. Since the two of you are both members of Aresis, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah. Okay. Here's some information.
Well, I have already written this down.
Yeah, okay, well, if you've got it all written down.
Well, first off, let me tell you about my first show as Mother Montrose, which is this Sunday at 5 o'clock at Mary's.
Are you representing Aresis tonight?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yes, okay.
Lillian was supposed to be here tonight.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's working out great.
Okay. So anyway, getting back to my show, it's a little show that I wanted to put together. It's my first as Mother of Montrose.
Yes.
With all the proceeds, of course, going to Legacy, who, as you know, does some really wonderful work in this area.
I know it.
For our community.
And Aresis is giving their money this year to Legacy in the general fund?
Yes, they are.
Yes,
yes
so
they are.
They can use it however they need.
Exactly. And then, of course, once a month we do a direct benefit for some organization that we have chosen. And I'm not sure who that is. Oh, yes, I am. It's going to... be going to Bering Omega this month.
Good. Another wonderful organization.
That's right. That's right.
They were one of the first to step up to the plate during this, the AIDS epidemic.
That's right.
And they have, you know, it was the first dental clinic in the world for PWAs, and they have a daycare center that's been going on for, I know, more than 15 years.
Yes, I volunteer over there. And,
do you now?
And the,
I had no idea.
And Omega House.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Oh. Now, I'd like to... Omega House, that's some tough work.
That's some tough work, but it's really, really rewarding. And
because Omega House
there are
is
a lot of people. These are basically it's where people go to. It's the last stop.
Yeah,
you know, and a lot of people over there are there because they have no place to go. Family has disowned them, or maybe they don't have a family, and. It's pretty nice to go over there and just hold their hand, you know, feed them, wash the clothes, whatever it takes, you know, just to let them know that they're not alone. And that means a lot to people to sit there and, you know.
It takes a very strong person to do that. Yeah,
that's right.
And, I mean, it's hard. It's something I don't know that I could do.
Oh, you know, I wondered about that when I started it, too, and you just fall into it.
Really?
You know, it's just caring for people.
Sure.
And that's one of the things that we do you know, as putting on these shows as drag queens, basically. We're caring for people. You know, our organization, like ICOH, put on these shows, and we give all the money to
absolutely
to Legacy and places like that. We do this at our own expense, and trust me, it's very expensive to buy all the stuff to try to look like somebody you're not.
Well, I don't know about Yorkie, but I know that you've not been doing this for very long.
No. I started, I'll tell you what, what was it, Yorkie, 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago?
A year and a half ago. Jocks and Dresses.
That's right.
That really?
First time we put on a dress.
Yorkie plays for the Montrose Softball League.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool.
And they were in dire need of some really homely women. One time.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Yorkie has that Eva Peron wig that, you know, when she doesn't wear the glasses, you know, and gets out there in that Eva Peron wig and, you know, that fancy dress, I mean, she looks pretty good.
Yes, yes.
You know which which wig I'm talking about?
The
blonde that goes up here and has the kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you are all things Shirley Bassey. You are determined to bring England's original diva to the attention of America once again.
I'm right down to the knickers.
It's just amazing. That woman has had quite a career.
70 and, years old and still and going.
Yeah. And because I heard you the last time I saw you at a show, you were doing some Shirley Bassey that obviously she's done recently because it was kind of top 40 stuff.
It's brand new.
Yeah.
Yeah. The album just came out last month.
What is the connection that you have to Shirley Bassey? Because I don't think I've ever seen you do anything but Shirley Bassey.
I don't. I tell you, if I was if I lived in England, I would probably be a stalker.
Oh, I see. It sounds like
I really like this old woman.
Sounds like me about 40 years ago with Barbra Streisand. I understand. So what else is going on with the recent?
Well, let me tell you. On August 12th, of course, is my show at Mary's at 5 o'clock.
Yes,
and
that's
then,
tonight.
Tonight, that's right.
Yes.
And let's see, also on August 12th, after that show, is the Miss EJ's contest, where they will be crowning the first Miss EJ's ever in the whole wide world.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's, yes, that's tomorrow night.
Wow.
Or tonight, rather.
Tonight.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
And
Miss EJ's and Don Dowden's Dog Days.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on.
Wow.
And then
can't do it all.
Then on the 18th, mm-hmm. We have a silly little show that's called Going Postal. And that's going to be at the BRB.
Who's doing that one?
This is an ERISA show. And what they have done is everyone who is in ERISA's, who has relatives or knows somebody who lives out of town, has asked them to send them a package in the mail, of which they're not opening.
Until
that night when they auction them off.
Oh, you're kidding me!
Yeah. So it can be junk. It might be something really nice. Like, I think they did it a few years ago or a couple years ago, and there was a cut crystal set in one of the boxes.
Oh, my goodness.
It wasn't broken. And so, you know, it's going to be quite interesting just to see what people have sent. And, you know, it's hence the name Postal. And, you know, it's they want to know where the postmarks are coming from.
What a wonderful idea for a show.
And, of course, again, all the money goes to Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 19th of August, Barbara Walker has her direct benefit show for Bearing Omega.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really good. You know, I want to say one thing more about Bearing Omega House.
Yeah.
I was really shocked when I went over there, not because of the people in it, but because of the circumstances. Do you know, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but they have been budgeted just a little over $100 a month for food over there.
What?
And they take care of 8 people most of the time. So they rely so heavily on contributions.
Wow.
And, you know, when we did the, when we did the bake sale show,
mm-hmm.
and we took all the stuff that was left over there and donated to them,
Yeah. They
were so grateful. They were so grateful. And they are always grateful for just any kind of canned goods, breads, anything.
I had no idea.
Because sometimes, you know, it's feast or famine there, okay?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, especially around holiday season, they'll get turkeys and hams and so on and so forth. And that's really nice. But, like, through the year, when there's nothing going on, you know, sometimes...
People forget.
They forget, and... So when they fix these people something to eat, sometimes it's a sandwich and some chips,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is okay, but still, you know, it's slim pickings.
Yeah.
So they rely very, very heavily on donations.
Wow.
And I try to do whatever I can mm-hmm. myself, and I try to make that known to everybody, so hopefully people will get over there and try
to do something. Yeah, I want to talk more about this at another time,
okay.
Because That's shocking.
Yes,
actually.
It is. Well, let me move on. So, August 17th, Doug Weiss has a show at the Corner Pocket. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name of this show. It's at 8 o'clock.
What time? What date?
This is the 18th.
The 18th?
I'm sorry, the 17th.
The 17th.
And that I don't have a clue what he's calling
what
that
I
show.
Have. I don't have that one.
Okay. Well...
Don't have that one.
So if anyone's writing this down, put a check mark alongside of that
okay.
one.
Okay.
Then on the 25th, mm-hmm. M.S. Gill will have a show in Galveston at the Undercurrent. That's at 2409 Market Street. If you've not been down to the Undercurrent, it's at 9 o'clock. This place is spectacular.
Yes,
this is
a really
nice two-story building. With something going on both floors
yeah.
at the same time.
That show is called British Invasion. The British are coming, the British are coming.
That's correct. And then I have a show, and myself and Aurora Breyer.
Yes.
Who is the meanest.
Isn't she the nastiest old thing?
She is
after
the
that
meanest
last show?
Thing in the world.
You know, I was just shocked. I mean, she and Craven were billing themselves as
the Devil Girls.
The Devil Girls. And I didn't think that anybody could out-devil Craven.
Oh, no.
But
no.
Aurora did a damn good job.
Yes, she does. And,
and I beg to differ. I think the Emperor and the Empress do a little bit more than just a few minutes a month.
Yes, they plan their trips. I didn't say that, okay? Anyway, no, Aurora is just a really mean woman. And it,
but a delight to talk to
on
the air.
A delight to talk
yes.
to. So this show is called Saints and Sinners. And
okay, so we know who the sinner is.
Yes, we do. And Morgan and Yorkie, of course, are, you know, respectable church ladies. And we'll be there trying to do our best to keep things...
Good luck.
Normal.
Good luck with that girl.
And then...
that's at George?
That's at George.
Okay.
At 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And then the last thing we have for August is going to be at EJ's at 8:30. And that's the IPR, Imperial Prince Royal, Falcon.
Yes.
Who will headline this show, Smoke 'em If You Got 'em.
Yes.
Which you know this is that is the last day you'll be able to smoke in the Houston bars.
Oh, is that the reason
and
for that?
And that's the reason for this show.
Oh.
So,
that's at EJ's.
Bring them and smoke them.
At the last day of the month.
This is it, baby.
That's it.
No more. So.
And then he's got... There's a whole bunch of stuff going on next
right.
month.
Well, I want to tell you about
okay.
something that we're doing next month.
Okay.
Yorkie and I, we are putting on a show for Bearing.
Mm-hmm.
Support network.
Yes.
You can talk into the microphone, Yorkie. it's just not all Skip. Here. Morgan.
Skip that. You know, we just finished a stage play at the Alley Theater, The Gospel According to Tammy Faye.
Yes.
And that was put on for Bearing as well. And so we had decided at that point that we wanted to do something else for mm-hmm. Bearing Support Network because, to my knowledge, nobody has ever done anything for them, and these people really, really, really help. I'm sure we all know somebody who probably goes to their Wednesday night meetings or, you know, gets counseling through them one
yeah,
way or another, which is free
absolutely.
To people with HIV.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to put on a show for them. We're having a spaghetti social.
Oh, I love those. Just love them.
We're going to have it at EJ's. We'll start it at 5 o'clock. The tickets are $5.
Oh.
Come get spaghetti. It's all homemade.
Cheap.
And with yes, and a show to follow. All of the money, every penny of it, will go to Bearing.
Wonderful.
And
Bearing
Wonderful. Support Network.
Wonderful.
And that's on the 2nd.
Okay.
And that's all I got. So I just
well
that's all I got
enough.
To tell you.
That's
you know?
Enough, honey.
I'm very busy.
I was at Mary's last week watching Montana finish The Window for your show.
Oh,
as a
she did The Window?
Yeah.
I drive by there all the time. I haven't seen it.
There's a big old picture of you.
Oh, my God. I keep going by going, nope, not today.
He says,
not today. Yeah, it's always been black.
Oh, no. No. It's and there.
Oh, they just don't care about me.
It's, no, not at all. Well, you're kind of dark looking, but but then again, it's Shirley Bassey.
Yes, huh? That's right. I lighten up for the show.
But, I mean, seeing both of you on stage, I'm really shocked to hear that how little time you've been doing this, because the first time I saw you out there, I knew you, mm-hmm. so I knew better, but I thought, now this is a person, this looks like a person that's been doing drag for like 20, 30 years. I mean, you have a stage presence.
It was all
and
my
you
mind.
Too, Yorkie.
Well, I tried to. I think it's more or less what it's going to is what picks me up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do drag.
Oh, but it's just amazing. I did drag about 20 years ago and spent all that time and put everything on and looked in the mirror, and what did I see but Loretta Lynn's mother? So I thought, no, this ain't working.
Well, at least, you know, everybody tells me I look more like Eartha Kitt. So.
As, come to think of it.
She actually does.
Eartha Kitt doing Shirley Bassey.
It works. It works. I mean, you've got the gowns and the chiffon ruffles going from here to...
It's all about glamour. It's all about glam.
And you are very glamorous on stage. I mean...
Thank you.
And now you've got that black dress that's cut up to here and cut up to Christmas, as a friend of mine would say.
I'm head for an old girl, you know.
So good luck with your mother's firstborn.
Thank
happening
you.
Tonight at
Thank
5
you.
O'clock at Mary's Naturally.
Thank you. Please come out and help support Legacy.
You bet.
Yorkie will be there as well and a few others that you might know. The always weird and wonderful Craven Moorhead will be there.
Oh, yes, Craven Moorhead Nightly.
Anyway,
nobody wears her skirts any shorter.
No, I'll tell you. Or her boobs any bigger.
You're right. Well, it sounds like fun.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you for having us here.
You bet. I love it.
Thank you.
And someday I'd like to get you back and talk more about Omega.
Okay.
Or anything else that you're doing.
Okay. Or about people. Even.
Or about people or your next fundraiser or right. whatever.
I know a few old carp around here we could talk about.
You betcha. Okay.
A little music to take us away?
Actually, no.
But we...
I was late for rehearsal, so what I'd like to do is get the Mark Allen Smith and the last song on it.
Well, now you're telling.
I'm sorry. I just thought of it. Because something has happened in our community. To a friend of ours, Mr. J.D. Doyle, I hope it's in there. J.D. Doyle lost his lover this week, Jeff, from cancer. And it seems as though that for the past many months, J.D. has been staying home and nursing and helping Jeff go through the cancer treatments, and it got the better of him. So this week he died. He was 46 years old, and his funeral will be tomorrow. It was incredibly sad news. J.D. Doyle, being the guru of queer music of the world, and anybody in the world who knows anything about queer music will tell you that J.D. has the most extensive collection of anyone else ever, anywhere. He knows about the music. It's he's got the personality for it because he's so single-minded. And so I know that because of that single-mindedness and that he is such a very moral person, I know that Jeff was well cared for all through his cancer treatment and in his final days. J.D. normally is here on the fifth Saturday because he does music, but the last two fifth Saturdays he begged off because he needed to stay home and take care of Jeff and see him through treatments. I know that I know that Chris is not finding the CD, and it's probably my fault because I did not. I just popped that on him. I didn't. We usually think these things out first, but it came to me, and that this would be a very good time to do it. And
Has Chris ever let you down?
Was that what you're going to play? Okay. We are going to play something that we've had for a very long time from Michael Callen, who, one, two, three, four, five, six. I can't read it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. that's what happens when you don't go to rehearsal, folks. So, we've got the CD in, and next up we will have Judy with our guests.
If your heart always did what a normal heart should do, if you always play a part instead of being who you are, then you must. If your heart always did what a normal heart should do, if you always play a part instead of being who you are, then you might just miss the one who's standing there. So instead of passing by, show you that you care. Instead of the madness that we're taught, never questioning the rules that we're living lies we bought so long ago. How are they to know? It's not who's wrong or right, it's just another way. Love don't need reasons. Love.
what we don't have is time.
Now in our studio, we've got Judy Reeves. Hello, Judy.
Hello.
And you've got some special guests here tonight.
Yes, I do. And as soon as I'm through crying and carrying on in here, we'll introduce them.
Okay.
Thanks, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
And Chris. Actually, I have three very important people in here tonight. Melanie Black is here, and that's kind of a surprise to me, and I'm very glad she's with us. And then I have Marlene and her spouse. I have Charlene and her spouse, Marlene. Of course, it works both ways, but Charlene is the one we're going to be talking with tonight. In the throes of this last week when we had a special candlelight vigil for bringing attention to hate crimes and things that are just abhorrent in our community and so on, that happened on Tuesday night, and it was a very large success. And I know that Nancy Ford was a big part of this, and I know her wish when she blew out her candle was that all of this comes to a stop. People start letting people live and be happy with who they are and what they are. And on the heels of that, on Wednesday, Charlene was attacked. And I say attacked, assaulted, however you want to say it. And she's kind of angry about it, and she's the one that got hurt, but I think I'm almost as angry as she is. I'm not sure. She's a transgendered person in our community. Hello, I can think it was a character. I'm sorry. And she was actually attacked because of who she is and what she is and so on. What I find most interesting is the place where this happened. And what I'd really like to do is say hello to Charlene and to Marlene, who's not speaking with us tonight, but she's here for support, and of course to Melanie. So
hello.
What went on? Tell us what happened on Wednesday.
Well, I had a normal VA appointment at the VA hospital here in Houston. I got a call. My schedule was I had to be at there at 7 o'clock in the morning for lab work. I walked into the lab center and they said, well, we don't have you registered here. We have changed our policy, so now you have to go to the clinic where your doctor is to do your lab work. So I walked over to Clinic 4 there at the VA hospital, and I was standing in line amongst the three other veterans plus myself and this clerk that worked there. And as soon as I walked in, all eyes turned toward me. And so I walked, when it was my turn to talk to him and register, he says, we don't, he goes, well, sir, what can I do for you?
Well, sir. Okay.
And I was like, well, I'm not a sir. My name is Charlene. Here's my ID card, and you'll see it says Charlene Renee Lauderdale. He goes, no, you're not a female.
Okay, so you are a patient at the VA hospital.
Yes.
Obviously, you are a vet.
Right.
So
I'm
you've actually defended our country, so to speak, okay?
Yeah, I was injured in the Desert Storm.
Okay.
I broke my neck. I was considered dead for a couple, about 20 hours. And so when they come around to the body bags to put our dog tags and our tie it to our mouth and shove it in our mouth, the young airman pulled my dog tags off my neck and I stood up. I screamed and they realized I was still alive. So they took me out of a body bag and then took me over to a medical facility.
Okay. So, and at, I mean, obviously, yes, I'd say you qualify for VA hospital a lot more than some people I know, but you have an ID at the hospital that says you're Charlene.
Yes,
and
I
have. That's a valid ID from the hospital? I mean, well, it was issued there or somewhere?
July the 16th of this past month, mm-hmm. I had my name and my gender legally changed here in Harris County. I went and had, of course, you know, all my ID cards, my driver's license, my military ID, Social Security, and my VA card that shows that I'm a patient. So if I'm traveling anywhere in the country and I get hurt, the police can take a look at my ID card from the VA and take me to the local hospital where the VA will assume all the finances for me.
Okay. So this was an employee that called you, sir, when you walked into the clinic.
He was, from what I found out later, he was, as it was told to me by his supervisor, one of his very best employees.
I won't comment.
Well,
I can see the worst.
Yes.
Well, I made the comment to the supervisor, said, this is your best employee. God knows I'd hate to see the everybody underneath him.
Yeah. So what happened when you walked in and he said, may I help you, sir? And you corrected him.
Well, I corrected him and he just stood back and he said, you're just a transsexual whore for all I care.
My way of introduction, okay.
So I have... I got very angry real quick.
Okay.
And see, this is not the first time at the VA hospital where I have been called sir or been screamed at that I'm a transsexual. So I immediately reached over the counter and I pulled his badge off his shirt. And when I did, I went to walk out to go to Consumer Affairs office, the patient affairs advocate. And when I started walking out, the three veterans that I was standing in front of, one of them grabbed me by my blouse and started jerking me around. Another veteran kneed me in the groin, and the third one was trying to push me, and finally he just pushed me over the set row of chairs there in the waiting room. And so I got up, and I thought, well, I just better leave. So I got up and I walked off. As I was walking out the door to the waiting room going to Consumer Affairs, this employee followed me and he was pushing me on my shoulder all the way down the hall. And he was like, we're going to take your ass to jail. And he was a couple of expletives there. And I just told him, I said, I'm going to file a complaint of sexual harassment. And it's an abuse toward a patient, which is a big no-no in any hospital.
Sure it is.
And so I got to patient affairs, and of course at 7:30 in the morning, I assumed everybody would be there, but they apparently don't open up to 8 o'clock. So what I did was I was walking out of patient affairs going down the hall, and I decided to go to the director's office at the VA hospital up on the fourth floor. And as I was walking out the door, he grabbed me by my shoulder and started shoving me down the hallway until the point where I had to physically fight him off of me. And I told him in no certain terms, or he either grab me and keep your hands off of me. Well, to make a long story short, when I was talking to the director's office, or because they weren't there, obviously, and so I went back to Consumer Affairs and I was waiting, and of course he took off. The next thing I know, I got the VA police officers pulling me out of Consumer Affairs, telling me I was under arrest for grabbing his badge.
So they actually wanted to arrest you for all of this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I told the police officer I'd like to file assault and battery on the three veterans and the employee. And the police officer very smugly said, well, they say you started it. And I was like, no, I didn't start it. I just took the guy's badge. And he says, oh, by the way, you know that taking his badge is federal property, so now we can arrest you on a federal theft. So he said, well, I got two options. You can either behave yourself here and just go about your little wimpy ways, or you can give me back his badge and I'll let you go this time. So I said, fine. And I handed the police officer the badge, and of course, this police officer was very... His appearance was that I'm some sexual pervert, and how dare you stand in front of me with a dress on, or a blouse and a pair of jeans, feminine jeans, and my hair done, and makeup and all that. So finally, it was 8 o'clock. I finally went to talked to the lady at the patient affairs, and she said, "Well, sir, we can't help you." And I said, "Well, I have."
Can't who can?
And I said, "Isn't that your responsibility?" And she said, "Well, not for people like you." So this time I was really ticked off. And so I was crying on the way. I walked out of her office. I was crying, and I was going to the director's office. Apparently, she had called the director's office and told her that I was on my way. So when I got there, the director's own personal secretary, she said, "Well, sir, what can I do for you?" And I said, "Ma'am, I'm a female. My name is Charlene Renee Lauderdale. Please call me ma'am or Miss Lauderdale or Charlene." She said, "No." She said, "You're not a male because our computer database says you're a male." And I was like, and this was being screamed at in front of about 20 people within the director's office. And so everybody started doing the typical whispering and pointing at me. And I mean, the little like that kind of stuff. And finally, she started calling me Miss Lauderdale. I told her, I said, "I find it very offensive that," she said, "Well, the computer says you're still Charles Robert Lauderdale Jr., male." And I said, "No, I brought in my paperwork for a certified court order showing that I'm Charlene Renee and I'm a female." She said, "Well, we're not going to update that for you because, you know, we just don't believe in that." I was like,
"And so, don't believe in the court system," is what they're saying.
That's right. They're bigger than they are.
Well, when I brought up the fact that I brought in a certified court document signed by the Superior Court here in Harris County, they said, "So?" And I was like, "What do you mean, so?" I said, "I gave you a federal court order. Your regulations state that I have to bring in certain documents." And I brought them all in, and they processed my name. Apparently, y'all reverted me back to being Charles and a male. She said, "Well, we're not going to update your records." So, having lost that battle, of course, again, I was very upset and I was crying. And lo and behold, my voice was getting louder. And here comes the same three police officers that talked to me.
When you say police officers, are these individuals that are hired by the Veterans Administration? Or
yeah,
they're city cops? No.
These are federal police officers.
These are federal officers, okay.
And they work primarily on federal property at the VA hospital.
Okay.
And they also are located at the regional office, which is right across the parking lot on the same federal grounds.
Okay.
And so he says, "You know, one more outburst from you, or one more peep out of you, you will go to prison. I will make damn sure you go to federal prison, and we're going to put you in a male prison," and blah, 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 the whole story. And finally, I just got to the point. I said, "Okay, fine." And I got so mad, I just went off, went to the female bathroom, cried for about 20, 30 minutes, and I was looking at my clock. I said, "I got to go find out why my name wasn't updated." So I went down to eligibility, which is right there on the first floor when you walk in the VA hospital, and I met Miss Allen. She is the supervisor for eligibility. So I sat down and talked to her, and she pulled my file, my hard copy file, and sure enough, there was my court order, and there was all the signatures and the judge certification and, of course, the stamp, and it was certified. She said, "Well, I'm very sorry, ma'am." She was very nice, always referred to me as a female, and her comment was always Miss Lauderdale or yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. And so what she did was she typed in all my information as Charlene Renee, female, and then she put a note under this computer system that they have that I'm in transition, and per the court order, this is the reason why they're updating my name. So she sent it off. And so about this time, it was time for my doctor's appointment. And so I went over there, and the director staff, one of the other ladies that works for the director, she had set up an appointment for me to go immediately back to the lab to get my lab work Got all that completed, sit there in the lobby, waiting for my doctor, of course. Now, this is about 9:30 in the morning. Everybody that was in there, of course, this same employee is now back behind the counter, and everybody that he's talking to all of a sudden just stops at what they're talking to him and turn around and looked at me, and they're pointing at me like, and I was thinking, oh, dear God. And so everybody in the waiting room was looking at me. And so I just, well, I'm going to sit right here and not do anything. And I was pretty mad. What the doctor did, she sent me over to the emergency room because I have a broke neck that I suffered in the first Desert Storm. And so they took x-rays of my neck and they took, you know, MRIs and all that kind of stuff to make sure I was okay. And all the results were going to be sent to my doctor, my primary care doctor. When I got in there, I was still very angry. I was crying. People were just, I mean, rude. I mean, some of the veterans there were just looking at me and just shaking their head, looking at me like very condescending and shaking their head at me and just making snide comments. And so I was like, I'm just not going to do anything right now. I'm just going to get through this day and go home. Well, I got into the doctor's office and she called me in and I was sitting there and I just broke down. I really did. I was just squalling. She was asking what was the problem, and I told her what had happened. So she said, well, I don't know nothing about it. And I said, well, it happened this morning at 7:20 in the morning. And so she said, well, just a minute. So she got up out of her the clinic room where I was being examined. She went and got the supervisor of that employee, because I told her about what he did. Mr. Murphy came in, who is the supervisor of all the clerks out front in the waiting room, told me, said, well, you know, four veterans came to me and said, you started it. And I was like, well, can you see my torn hair off my head? I said, how did that happen? I had my glasses, as you recall, when I went to bed.
I saw your glasses, yeah.
They were all bent and out of shape. And I was visibly shaken. I was really just beside myself. I've never had this type of thing happen to me.
So let me stop you right there for a moment. You've talked to several people since this happened.
Yes.
Several people over the hospital level, above the hospital level.
Yeah.
Your plans for the future with the hospital, I assume you still are going to be going there.
Well, if they don't know me now as Charlene, they will sure know me when the federal court system.
Very good.
Hey, if it's up, I need to let you know you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. I just need to step in and make sure that's clear before we go on.
Works for me.
The next day I went to talk to my counselor over at the Montrose Center, and she was really, I was still beside myself. I was crying uncontrollably, and my counselor looked at me, she says, what happened? And part of the thing about the Gulf War was I was severely injured when the missile hit the building I was in, and my flying partner at the time was decapitated, and his body was laying on top of me. So they diagnosed me with post-traumatic stress disorder. And so I started having flashbacks in her office and about, you know, what happened, why did I survive, and all this kind of stuff. She says, Charlene, what happened? What's going on? And I finally had enough composure where I told her what's happened. And so she took the time for the next hour and a half to 2 hours, however long it was, I can't remember. And she really helped me get over the fact that I was assaulted and sexually harassed. And it was very visible, of course, to her. To go back to Wednesday, after I left the hospital, I went over to Vanity's studio, Vanity Transformation Studio, because I was hurt. My hair was, I have a hair system because I don't have a long hair myself, and I'm going bald on the top of my head. So this hair system makes me look very feminine. And so I went over to Vanity's, and of course I met you there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know you at the time. I've seen you there a couple times, but and
I finally found someone who doesn't know me. Thank you. My reputation's pretty bad in this community.
Well,
so.
You when
she didn't know enough to avoid you.
There you go. See, I caught her off guard.
So when I walked in there, of course you saw me. I was pretty devastated.
Yes,
and,
you were.
And so Vanity and even you was wondering what happened, and I told Vanity what happened. And of course, you remember I was just crying. Vanity was kind enough to take my hair system off, inspect it for any type of damage, and then she reapplied it, I guess.
Okay.
With duct tape, I guess. And so, like I said, the Thursday, the next day, I went over to the counselor, and she said, well, why don't you call the EEO officer at the VA hospital? And I was like, well, oh no. And I was driving down the road and said, wait a minute. I served in the Air Force with this guy.
Bingo.
So I called him up. Of course, he wasn't there. And I left a message for him to call me. And the next day when he called me, he says, Charlene, huh? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm going through a transition to become a female. I've been fighting it all my life. He said, well, good for you. He said, well, why are you wanting to talk to me? And I said, there was an incident yesterday at the hospital, and there's been numerous incidents since April of this year that I need to file sexual harassment charges against 4 VA employees. So after about an hour talking to him on the phone, he was sitting there on the phone, and he says, Charlene, I can't believe this. He said,
where's he been that he can't believe this? I'm sorry.
Well, he was thinking that, you know, he told me that they just had a big, huge training class about sexual abuse, sexual harassment, abuse of patients, you know, their annual training apparently. And he goes, I just finished training them.
He needs to go back and do a refresher course.
Well, no, he appeared to be very angry about what happened because, you know, like I said, I've known him for, God, 20 years.
He should be.
And so he said, I tell you what, call me back tomorrow and let me do some groundwork. And of course, I told him about all the other complaints I filed within the patient affairs where Marlene and I were there for an eye clinic. And the doctor gave me my prescription, so I went up to the second floor where the prosthetics office is. Young black lady who sat behind the counter with her other lady there. Of course, the waiting room was fully full. And I was dressed as Charlene. Of course, I didn't have my name changed by that time, but I was dressed as Charlene. And handed her my paperwork, and she started putting my information in the computer, and of course it pulled up, and at the time it did say Charles R. Lauderdale Jr. She goes, well, sir, you're just going to take a seat. And I said, ma'am, I am a female. Would you please address me as Miss or Charlene? She goes, I don't give a goddamn what you wear. This fucking computer says you're a female.
Oops.
Or male. And I was like, oh my God, I got, Marlene can tell you, I got so livid. I was just flying off the handle. And so that was the first complaint.
Well, who have you talked to since Tuesday or Wednesday about this?
Okay, I called the Department of Veterans Affairs up in Washington, D.C., and got to talking to the Undersecretary of Veterans Affairs, one of his liaison clerks that assist in this type of abuse. And so he got the ball rolling, and I was asking him, like I asked the patient advocate, I said, is there any legal recourse I have? And, of course, the one here in Houston said, oh, no, there's nothing you can do. And he said, oh, yeah, you need to go back to the patient affairs office and ask to pick up a package called the tort claim. He said, that way you can file lawsuits and you can get your approval and all this kind of stuff. And that made me, again, I felt like I was harassed again because she knew the job. And I felt, again, just terrible.
I'm going to have to jump ahead here because we have limited time tonight. But what I would like to do is, you've gone all the way to the President of the United States on this.
Yes,
the office of the President.
Yes, I called
and
the
President. You've got success there.
Yeah, I talked to the President Bush's liaison, executive liaison, who then I talked to one of the Secretary of State's workers, and they filed a presidential inquiry into this incident. He also referred it back over to the Secretary of Department of Veterans Affairs, who's now doing a formal inquiry.
And you've talked to the ACLU, I believe?
ACLU.
And
I talked
they're filing,
to
helping you file a lawsuit.
Well, I'm waiting on a phone call from them.
Right. So that's the plan, though. So are you planning to take this as far as you can to try to make some inroads, some changes here, and maybe get a little protection for yourself at this point in the future?
I'm fully prepared to take this up to the Supreme Court.
And I'm fully prepared to go with you.
You know, when our president says everybody needs to be treated properly and respectfully, and just in the last few months he did not sign a hate bill crime, including gender identity as a protection. You know, I told Floyd, who was the EO officer, said, you know, if President Bush would have signed that, I would have been the first test case.
So now we're just going to make it a VA poster child. That'll work.
Well, the ironic thing is that, you know, I show the director's staff all these federal regulation that says, and I quote, no VA employee shall mistreat or abuse a patient, a member, or a beneficiary. And so, and I point this out to them, they said, well, that's just written on a piece of paper. And I was like,
okay.
Like, good Lord.
So we have to wrap this up for this evening. I appreciate your coming out here. I would love to ask you to come back out at some point as things progress and just kind of keep us up in the community on what's happening and what's going on. I know I'm going to be harassing you in a polite way and keeping up with what's happening
Monday,
with regard to this as well.
Well, Monday's going to be a big day because I go actually meet with the EEOC officer to file all the sexual harassment charges against. And then, of course, I got an appointment after that with the director of the VA regional office to file the tort claim and the Office of Legal Counsel.
Okay.
So I'm looking for a good lawyer.
Well, we'll have to figure out how to find you one of those, too.
But I do appreciate being on. You know, this is... We have in our community about 10 veterans that are transsexuals and a couple cross-dressers. And it's ironic that just this past March or February, I fought for my right to have estrogen given to me at the VA. Matter of fact, that's one of the other complaints I filed. The pharmacist refused to give me to because I'm just one of those people.
See, you're taking estrogen now. All I have to do is say, oh, is that time of the month for?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I was...
Sorry.
Well, tonight I was having hot flashes. So.
There you go. See?
It's an We're all having hot flashes in here tonight.
Okay, so. Yes. Well, it is warm in here tonight.
But, yeah, I really hope that what happens is that the VA stops the harassment and so that other transgendered veterans, whether male to female or female to male, can go in and be treated respectfully and kindly.
Well, I appreciate the fact, just personally, that you're pursuing this and that you're talking about pursuing it to the end and getting some satisfaction out of it, because I believe that you will be giving strength to those who have been there, and unfortunately for those who are not there yet, but they're probably targeted to be attacked someday, so that maybe we can start bringing some strength into the community and start fighting these things until we get enough satisfaction, until people start actually accepting us for who and what we are.
Well, as a male, I was pretty belligerent. I fought for my right, overcome many obstacles in my life, including a broken neck. And I feel like the challenge is there, and I'm in for the duration.
Great.
These folks hadn't seen the last of Charlene.
Good. I'll be standing there beside you. Well, on the other side of Marlene, anyway. Thank you for coming and supporting and helping out. And thank you for telling your story. And we'll be looking for the next installment, so to speak.
Yeah, it'd be nice to talk about the progress.
All right, great. Thanks to Chris and Jimmy for working us in tonight. I know we were kind of a surprise.
Not a problem. We always find some way wiggle room in.
I know, that's right.
So let's go to a little piece of music, and coming up next is Leather Ties. Before we go on to Leather Ties, we have Paul to thank for his contributing contribution here to our show. And
yes.
It's time for you to call in your pledge support, 713-526-5738. Show management that shows and information like what you just heard is important.
Yes.
On this station.
Yes. We've already had, Paul has donated.
And so we...
And Johnny...
So 713-526-5738, or if you're listening on the internet, you can go to kpft.org and make your pledge of support there.
Yes.
Safely and securely. So let's get into the Leather Ties music and give you a chance to start calling in.
With the glee. We got our dirty little fingers in everybody's pie. We love to cut you down to size. We love dirty laundry.
How about we kick him down and then we get him back up? Welcome to Leather Ties. That was Lisa Marie Presley with Dirty Laundry. Welcome. I am Robert Tichy, Daddy Bear Robert T. I am the host of Leather Ties. Tonight we have a very special person. The producers of the Boy of Montrose contest. Don't gag. Okay.
He's blowing my nose.
The Boy of Montrose contest was this evening. We have a new Boy of Montrose, the new Boy of Montrose 2007-2008. We have the producers here, one of the producers from the Boy of Montrose contest for PWLD Charities, Sir Robert Helms. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Okay, maybe we can hear you now. Can you hear him? I can't hear him.
Not a clue.
There we are. Now I can hear you. Hey, good evening. Welcome, Robert.
Let's hear it for the engineers.
Yay! We love you, Chris.
We had a caller commenting about the last section, and I had, unfortunately, I have to answer the phone. So.
Oh, okay.
Was that what that was?
I didn't realize. I didn't.
Yeah, that's what the call was about.
From where I'm sitting here, I didn't see him over there.
Oh, it's okay. He was hiding. You know, Robert Helms, he's so Kate Mossy.
I work from the back.
Yeah, I'm not going to say a word.
Wave your hands at me and say something dirty.
Say something dirty.
Dirty.
No, something dirty.
Oh, something dirty. Oh, that's
there you go. No, say something dirty.
Something dirty.
Good I was talking job. About using your hands to do it.
Oh, yes. Tonight also, Robert will be interpreting for us on air. Come on.
Watch carefully.
And that moment of silence was brought to you by Marcel Marceau.
Thank you. So, the Boy of Montrose contest was this evening. We have a new Boy of Montrose. Talk to us about that. Who's our new Boy of Montrose, Robert?
Our new Boy of Montrose is Boy Casey.
Boy Casey.
Yeah. Yay!
It was a very good contest. For those of you who missed it, it was a really fun contest. It was very interesting.
It really was.
Being a producer of the contest, what do you do?
Besides drink heavily?
And you were drinking heavily and had a lot of Excedrin going on.
And that
there,
was different from a regular night in what way?
Because this time I was doing it in public.
And you don't ever?
I never drink in public.
Shut up.
Lies, lies, I tell you, all lies.
We've got pictures to prove otherwise.
Well,
wait, go to that website again?
That was not me.
No, but we got pictures of you.
It was his doppelganger.
Yeah, that was your doppelganger at Louis also. Yeah, I remember that.
No, the only pictures you have of me is doing things to other people.
Ooh.
Yeah, actually, those are pretty damn hot, too.
The wax shots?
Not saying a word. Don't tell your boy, though.
No. He's in bed right now. He can't hear anything.
That's okay. He can just listen to it online tomorrow.
No, he won't do it.
So, okay, back to the Boy Montrose contest. Boy Montrose contest. The Boy Montrose is a working title for the PWA Holiday Charities. Tell us about that.
PWA Holiday Charities was established back in 85 or 86 by Lady Victoria Lust, who originally wanted to do something for our community because we were being devastated by HIV/AIDS. And when shortly after the establishment of PWA Holiday Charities, Sorry, lost train of thought just for a moment. What are you doing to that microphone?
I was showing interest. I put it in my crotch. Okay.
Yeah, well, don't you normally work the opposite way?
I'm a switch. I go either way. Everybody knows that.
Bottom. Anyhow.
I'm not going to even talk about you. I got pictures of you.
You have no pictures. Anyhow, okay.
Yeah, but video.
When PWA Holiday Charities was established, it was bringing in about $5,000 a year to help out the clientele, which was desperately needed even then. And it has raised...
Well, back in the 80s, yeah. Nobody was doing anything. They
exactly.
were not the only ones.
Exactly. And Lady Victoria Lust stepped up, and shortly after the formation, she did pass away from a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And we greatly miss her, but... Her vision has turned into a $61,000 a year fundraising effort that comes from the community.
You can still visit her in the Outback at Mary's.
That's true. That's true. She is out there, as well as quite a few other people.
The
Great
Myrtle.
The Great Myrtle.
For those of you who don't know or understand that reference, every time somebody in the community moves on, the Outback at Mary's, we always put a plant there in their name, and that plant signifies that person's passing and that person's life and how we appreciated what they did for our community. So the crepe myrtle is Lady Victoria Lust. So next time you go out there, you know, pour her a cocktail.
Yeah, and actually in quite a few cases, quite a few of those plants, that
died.
Person is underneath it.
Yeah.
But we managed to raise now through members of PWA Holiday Charities who get out there. We raise money for every month. We give $10 phone cards to all of our clients every month. So that money, those people will have a chance to contact friends, family, loved ones. Twice a year, we hold the Christmas in July show and the Christmas show, which allows us to give approximately $100 or more to every client that is in the Colt 45 AIDS Trouble Fund list. And during Thanksgiving and Christmas, we also give our client list $25 food cards from that lets them buy food for their holidays that they otherwise normally wouldn't have. We've also started something new this year where we are helping to provide food and sandwiches for members of people over at the Nahama Street Clinic. Because for most of those people, when they're waiting in line for 3 or 4 hours just to get their meds, they need to have something. So we've managed to get them just a little something to eat for the day.
That's over at Thomas Street.
That's at Thomas Street, right.
Okay, because I know NLA has done some work with Thomas Street Clinic. So
yeah, we did that for the toy drive. So.
So we have a stepping down boy Darren, stepped down this evening, or stepped aside, as they say. And boy Clay. Beautiful, thank you. Boy Clay.
Boy Clay.
Clay, what am I saying? I'm sorry. I'm
Boy Cord.
Cord. No.
Oh, Casey.
Casey.
Okay.
Too many K. I'm sorry. I'm going Clay Gakin on you right now. So.
Tonight's contest, we actually had two contestants, Boy Casey and Boy Cord, who were both gracious enough to put themselves up on that block, and they both did an outstanding job of being able to get up there, and Casey managed to walk away with the title.
Yeah, he did a really good job.
He really did. Yeah.
And Casey is also a member of the Misfits.
He is.
And the Misfits are having their Misfits Ball September 9th, I believe.
Yes.
Well, the Misfits this year, they're having a full weekend run because it's their 5th anniversary.
Yeah, it's an odd number year.
So.
No, I think it's the 10th.
No, 10th.
7th, 8th, and 9th.
The 10th anniversary, whenever they have a 5 or 10 year anniversary, they do a
15th
full weekend.
Anniversary.
Is it 15 already?
Yes.
Really?
Wow, the Misfits are that old. They got their hardship license already, huh?
A few of them are that old.
Misfits Ball 9.
It's okay, 9. All right.
But it's actually their 10th anniversary, but it'll be Misfits Ball 9.
Okay, hold
15.
On. It's their 15th anniversary.
But it's the 9th ball.
9th ball.
Fact checker needs to be filed.
Yeah, okay, so it was 15. Thank you.
It's 15 and 9, so.
Just,
if there's anything wrong with that, please speak to Chair Dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Scott Kenyon.
Yeah, and...
832.
976. Yeah, shh, shh, shh. 976, 295 a minute.
We love you, Chair Dude.
Yeah. Hey, we got to be careful because I'm on the board of HCC and I don't want to have to deal with him.
Okay, oh, you don't have to worry about it. He's at his age. He's in bed already.
No, because the Misfits are actually doing a bar crawl tonight, running around.
Once again, Scott's already in bed.
Okay, Robert Helms said that, not I.
God, what is it? Scott's what?
Like, it's already 2:30.
Yeah, oh, he's in bed.
Maybe.
With the bird.
Bird?
Well, Robert, I know that it's late. Thank you for coming.
Hey, no problem.
Thank you for representing and letting us know about the Boy of Montrose and who our new Boy of Montrose is.
Yeah,
and telling us some about PWA Holiday Charities.
Yeah, and it's a really good thing that one of the roles that Casey's going to play is he has to put forth a minimum of 3 fundraisers throughout his term, throughout this year, that's going to directly benefit the PWA Working Fund or the Holiday Charities Working Fund, so we don't have to dip into the money that we're raising for the clients.
To keep the charity going.
Right, and it's going to be real interesting to see if Casey can come anywhere near the amount that you raised during your term.
Oh, yeah, but that was a long time ago.
It was 05. It wasn't that long ago.
That was 04.
It was 04? 3 years ago. And how much did you raise?
It was $3,100. $3,100. I hold the record right now. Yeah, Denny is really pissed at me because I broke his record. I think Denny raised like $2,700, and he was really mad at me when they announced how much I had raised when I stepped down.
Well, tonight alone in tips, we've managed, and donations, we managed to bring in $459.
An incredible start.
Yeah.
An incredible start. Now, PWA Holiday Charities is a 501c3, so anybody who wants to donate, please do. It's definitely a worthy cause, and people really need it.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially with all the government cuts in funding right now.
Uh-huh.
No kidding.
So thank you, Robert Helms, for being here.
Anytime. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Now we have another fun person to talk to who's been interjecting his nasty little comments. We have an author here this evening. He is a leather man. He is a master of leather, 2002, I believe. You were a master of leather, 2002.
Yes.
And Buzz Lawson has written a book called Resurrection. The second book is in the works and should be out probably, I think, next year.
We'll see.
Okay. And Buzz Lawson is here to talk about his book. And keep in mind, this is a leather lifestyle, leather-oriented show, and that's what this book is about. As demented as it gets.
Actually, it's not.
In a way, yes, it is. It's, I think a lot of that book, and I've read the book, and I've read the manuscript for the second book, Don't Ask, I'm Not Sharing.
Thank you.
Because the manuscript, I'm not going to, I've had too many people ask me for your manuscript for the second book, and it's like they're not going there. But this book, I've read the book several times, and there's a lot in there that has to do with the leather lifestyle. There's a lot in there that has to do with personal abuse, the difference between abuse and leather BDSM play. There's all kinds of messages in this book, and the story itself is just a phenomenal mind fudge, I should say.
Yeah, we discussed how we would use that word.
Yeah, yeah. You said a mind violation. Yes, it's a violation.
We just say FCC.
FCC. It's an FCC. Look, you moved my words. I can't read them anymore. These are all the words we can't say. Pussy Tourette. Pussy Tourette is a fabulous singer. Pussy Tourette.
And we're supposed to say number 3 you.
Yeah, no. 3. Okay, yeah, number 3 you.
Okay.
So, please welcome Buzz Lawson, the author of Resurrection.
What is the sound of one hand clapping?
It's a call for a bottle of red.
Thank you, Robert. Does that taste like cinnamon?
Merlin finally got it. He's like, oh. Okay, I've got a look home just for you, baby. Okay. So, Buzz, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Robert.
And tell us about the book and tell us about the concept and why you wrote it.
Actually, it's a strange situation. I went home one evening with an idea for a short story. And I've written short stories most of my adult life, starting in high school. And I teased myself with the idea that one day I would write a book.
He graduated with Fred Flintstone, by the way.
Yes. We were still riding dinosaurs to and from school back then. Mm. When I actually sat down with this story, it was just an idea for a short story.
Right.
I sat down to write, middle of the night, sat in front of my computer with this idea, put my hands on the keyboard, and started writing what my idea was. At about 10 o'clock the next morning, I noticed that the sun had come up.
Yeah.
And I was still writing. I was 12 pages or more into this and realized that the story that I had sat down to write had taken on a life of its own. I'm still chasing this story, and I'm almost finished with the third novel in the series.
Which you won't let me read one chapter, and I hate you for it, because I've already read the second one, and I hate you for that.
even my slave Kirby is a little reticent about the second book. It gave him nightmares for a week.
Yeah, it gave me nightmares for a few nights too, because I was like, wow.
There are some pretty extreme scenes in it.
It's well, the first book is so intense. The second book just kicks it up another level.
The intensity of it doesn't come from anywhere that...
It comes from within yourself, and that's what makes it such a stunning book, because the way you write it, when you're reading it, you just fall into it. You become the character, and that's the mind fornication of it all. That's the FCC of it all.
And you're having said that, all I have to say is thank you. You have confirmed that I wrote it right.
Yeah.
If in reading it, you felt that you were there...
Yeah, I mean, it's like you read the books, you don't even see the words anymore. It's just like a movie playing in your head, and you're just turning pages. It's really incredibly well written.
The one thing that I can say, and I'm asked constantly to describe, what is this book about? What is this book about? I can't tell you what the book is about without giving it away. So what I can tell you is that there is murder, suicide, kidnapping, brutal and bloody torture, and it's a love story.
Oh. That is so bushy, and I love it. You're such a good bushy.
Hello.
You're a loyal bushy.
I'm trying to be diplomatic. I want you to read it, but I'm not going to give it away.
No, but I mean, that the premise of the story is... I mean, if you had to sum up this book, Resurrection, the first book in the series, how would you sum it up in one, two sentences?
A bizarre journey into the deepest, darkest places in your soul, and then a sunrise.
Okay, well, I didn't get the sunrise in the first book.
You won't until the end of the fourth.
So hurry up and finish the third book. Now, this book has been in print for, a year now?
A year and a half.
Year and a half. And I know it sold quite a bit.
It is currently out of print.
So then where can people find this book?
I understand that Black Hawk Leather still has copies for sale.
Mm-hmm.
If and when Black Hawk Leather runs out of copies, I understand that Amazon.com still has a very few copies left.
Mm-hmm.
When they run out...
They're going to have to come find you and beg.
Hello, I still have my own copies. I still have about 70 copies left. If you find me and you buy it from me, I would be more than happy to sign it for you. But if I do that, I want you to come back to me and tell me how you felt about it. Now, the one thing that I can say, Chris, are you there?
Can you say what?
When you turn around and bend over what you're looking at, can I say that?
Ass?
Yeah. I can say that?
Yeah, you can say it.
Can I add the H word after it?
No, say A.
No. You can use
say them separately.
Yes.
If it's an adverb.
You cannot
adverb.
Put them together.
Thank you, okay. Jimmy.
Okay, the way it works is this. He is an asshole.
Oh, then I can say that.
You can say it that way, if it's an adjective.
Yes.
But if you're referring to the actual...
If you're referring to a sphincter, you have to say sphincter.
Okay, I'm not going to refer to a portion of the anatomy. Everyone who has come back to me, including my editor...
Has called you an a-hole.
My editor is a very, very dear friend of mine that I've known for many, many years. And we knew one another for many, many years before I even started writing this book. When he edited this book, when he finally finished the last sentence... pelted my window with rocks until I opened it. When I opened the window and looked down at him, he says, "You asshole." And I said, "What?" He says, why are you standing here talking to me? Go right.
Well, I'm talking to you because you threw rocks at my window, you dog. I mean, come on.
Well, the last sentence in the book is three words long. There are a dozen questions.
Bite me, big boy.
A dozen pressing questions raised in Resurrection. Only one of them gets an answer at the end of the book.
On Amazon.
On Amazon? How many copies did they say they have?
I haven't checked that. There's 27 used.
We have somebody here with a laptop computer who just looked up Amazon, and there are still copies of Resurrection
at
available
at least 27 copies available.
Now, I found a copy of it over at a different light bookstore in San Francisco.
Yes.
Yeah, because Sir Robert Helms was over in San Francisco this past week, and...
And actually sent me on my phone a picture of my book.
He took a picture of his book in the bookstore and say, hey, look, here's your book. I know you.
The last time that happened was somebody was in Washington, D.C. and sent me a picture of a copy of my book in a store.
And you were
window.
Like, thank you, I know what the cover looks
that,
like.
Yeah, and I did it for you when I was in Atlanta. No, I called you when I was in the bookstore in Atlanta.
Yes.
And called you and told you, I'm sitting there, I'm looking at you, I see your book.
The one thing that I can say is there are 100 mysteries in this story, and only one of them finds an answer at the end of Resurrection. The one that you really want an answer to doesn't find an answer in the first book. You have to keep reading. Which is why when people finish it, invariably, they close it and say, you asshole. Because I gave them the answer to one thing, and it literally breaks their heart. The very end of the book.
Yeah, I remember calling you that when I finished.
Will break your heart.
I called you that at the end of reading the manuscript for the second book as well.
And trust me,
a few other choice words.
And as many times as I have even reread my own work. And somebody asked me, have you ever actually read your own book? And I said, maybe 200 or 300 times while it was being edited and prepared for print.
Yeah, but I mean, no. Take the book off the shelf and open it up and read it.
Have you ever actually picked up a copy and read it from cover to cover? And I said, well, no. They said, do that. I did.
And you looked in the mirror and called yourself an a-hole.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Well, I would, you know, as vice chair of the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum for Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender History, Inc., I would call you the same thing if the museum doesn't get a copy of this book.
Ooh. Oh, wait.
Why did
Jimmy
I know that was coming?
Jimmy, ask and you shall receive.
Shameless plug. Shameless plug.
Gulf Coast Archives Museum.
That wasn't a shameless plug. That was a shameless solicitation.
Yeah.
Come on,
so
Jimmy.
Who's the a-hole now, Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy?
Hey, Jimmy, how about that?
I have no shame when it comes to getting stuff for the museum. I have no shame.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
Modeling can mean a lot of things.
just... Just ask Mr. Tichy how many times I have...
yelled and screamed and hollered at me about my music?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have a copy of my last album?
Yes, I do now.
And to be honest, my very first album, the first CD I ever released, Throat... Mm-hmm. I sent to KPFT.
See, and I never got it.
And they played my music on the air, so somebody got it. Good. Somebody took it home and kept it. So.
Oh, gee, imagine that at this radio station.
Hey, you know, when you write really, really hot, sexy, queer grooves like I do, people tend to steal your music.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Okay, are we square now?
Now, GCAM has a copy of this book.
Yes, and on top of that, if you
and
open it up,
signed.
Buzz Lawson signed the book for you.
Signed by the author.
With a watermelon, no less.
But you knew that was going to be his next question.
With a watermelon?
Yeah, what you said.
Yeah, spit the seed, baby. Spit the seed. Don't swallow.
With Resurrection, I decided rather than writing in a narrative style, I wrote the entire book in first-person singular.
Look at Jimmy's face.
So,
he says, as you, Jimmy's dancing.
As you read the book, you are seeing things from the perspective of the person who is telling you the story. So in first-person singular, if I don't drag you through this from that person's point of view, if you're not able to step into that person's footsteps and actually feel what he's feeling, see what he's seeing, hear what he's hearing, then I didn't write it right. And I haven't yet had somebody come back to me and say that I hadn't.
Well, you had one or two run-on sentences. We won't mention that.
Okay, why don't you complain to Charles Dickens, who wrote whole pages that were one sentence?
Because Charles Dickens...
Because he's dead.
Okay, so pick on the guy who's alive.
And I'm sorry, Charles. Charles, can we say comma, semicolon, dash, period, punctuation?
Oh, my biggest problem is the overuse of commas. And trust me, in the 200 editions before it actually went into print, a whole lot of commas got cut out.
Oh, please, the entire book was one long sentence. It was just lots and lots and lots of commas.
Oh, hell, Tolkien had the same problem.
I'll tell you what. When we put you under the ground and put a headstone over you, your whole life will be one sentence.
And it'll be a really sad one, too.
No. That's right. You're listening to Leather.
Go ahead, Robert.
Go ahead, Mr. Helms. Say it.
He's signing.
See,
this is why we told you to watch your radio very carefully.
Watch your radio,
Robert,
because Robert Helms
interpret
is signing
this.
Some really nasty stuff right now.
Ask your deaf friends what I said.
Do you see Chris in here doing the bunny rabbit thing here?
Oh, I know what that means.
That means it's time for
that
a
means
song.
Violate.
Because, yeah, it means violate. Yeah,
FCC,
he's doing the
FCC.
Violate thing.
Yeah, violate you.
Not me.
FCC you.
FCC. Yeah, FCC you.
FCC me, baby.
All right. I'm used to banging my wrist there when it comes to using that word.
Well, it's two rabbits. You push the two rabbits together. What do rabbits do? They FCC.
They copulate. Yes.
They FCC.
They multiply.
Well, you know, I was joking about it earlier.
Yeah, that's math. Forget it.
One of my... I showed a couple of the guys in here the...
you made me snore, you bastard.
Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
So who's the pig?
Unless...
All fingers point to Robert.
Daddy Bear Robert teaching.
Daddy Bear Robert, I admit it freely. I'm a pig.
Are you new here?
Have you actually not heard one song I've written? You're asking who the pig is?
Oh, you should hear his album Hanky Panky.
They've got my album Hanky Panky.
Oh, I played it to death.
Oh, Red. My favorite song.
Red and Yellow. His favorite.
Yeah, Jimmy's favorite songs are Red Hanky and Yellow Hanky.
Yep.
Every time I see him, he's like, when is the next album coming out? Because I'm really tired of Yellow Hanky and Red Hanky, even though they still like make me hard every time I listen to them.
I mean, Jimmy.
Yes.
I mean, I gave you copies of his videos.
Mm-hmm.
You see why he's not allowed to go to pool tournaments anymore?
I know. Just because I got kicked out of a bar for playing strip pool, that's not...
No, we're not going to talk about how that toilet bowl got broken.
It's not the strip pool part.
I was 22, okay?
They keep losing their balls.
That's not...
It's just that, you know, a billiard table does not have seven pockets in it.
And he forgets where he put them.
Not when I wake up.
Like I said,
I was 22 when that happened, okay? You can blame Fanny Farmer for that one.
Once again, he was young.
You know Fanny Farmer.
Oh, yeah.
Mary's?
Oh, yeah.
When he used to have the lockdown parties at Mary's?
Mm-hmm. Hair down to your ass.
Yeah, you'd never want to play pool on that table if you knew what really went on.
I'll tell you what, that is one bomb that was no cherry.
No. You ever heard the expression stuck behind the eight ball? But I wasn't behind the eight ball. The eight ball was in the behind. Okay.
What was stuck to that eight ball would need Dawn liquid detergent.
It would not. I'm a clean queen. My Tracy's a... Oh, you did not do that.
They are kissably sweet.
This is the guy with the dirty chapstick here blowing me kisses. Okay.
I wasn't blowing a damn thing.
No, you were sucking.
Oh, it must be time for music.
Yes, please. Play some Praga Khan for us.
Oh, so anyhow, the producer, I told the producer that I wouldn't do that because I'm not that kind of girl.
And
oh, is it salon?
Wait, I'm not that kind of girl coming from the president of NLA. I'm not that kind of a girl.
Sounds like a bunch of bull.
I was channeling Chris Harrison.
We'll be right back. can't spend all your time in Iraq to follow what's going on, so you can count on KPFT to do it for you. You can't spend your days following the new agenda in Congress or its dealings with the White House, so you can count on KPFT to do that too. You can't spend your days listening to all the new music to find the best artists and songs. You can count on KPFT. Your support keeps KPFT on the air and gives you news, information, and music you don't hear anywhere else. That's why we're asking for your financial support today. Please make your gift to KPFT.org or call 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT right now. Continuing to meet your expectations, KPFT depends on your financial support. Contributing listeners provide over 90% of KPFT's funding. So please take a moment right now and make a gift to KPFT at 713-526-5738 or online at KPFT.org. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston.
And yes, we do need your call of support here to the station, 713-526-5738. Let management know that, you know, what you've heard tonight was informative in the beginning.
and let them also know that we kicked Robert Helms out for insulting Chris Aronson. No, Robert actually left. He said he apologized for that last little comment to you.
Well, I have one thing to say before we go any further. Mm-hmm. Those of you who have my phone number, my phone is turned off. While we were on break, I noticed that there were several missed calls. Stop calling me. I'm not going to answer.
Yeah, if you need to talk to Buzz, call the radio station and we'll put you on the air.
Yeah, we have this little panel in front of us that lets us know when you've called in.
Yeah, and it also gives us the power to hang up on you if we don't like what you're saying, so it better be fun.
I like that idea.
I'm sorry, leather people and fun. I think the funniest thing is, you know, we'll be out. We'll be in full leather. We'll be wearing our leather vests or title vests or whatever. And people are you people aren't really leather. You're laughing and having a good time. You're having too much fun. You can't be real leather. And it's like, yeah, we are.
Oh, excuse me. Since when does leather mean inhuman?
I think Chi-Chi LaRue kind of ruined that for us.
Sometimes you got to pull the butt plug out of your ass and have a good time.
Well, at least deflate it. Stop using one of those pump-up ones, you know. At least that way you can walk. Walk tall and wear a big stick. Welcome back to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert T. We're here tonight with Buzz Lawson. He is the author of Resurrection. And thank you for coming. Thank you for showing up.
Thank you for having me.
And as I said, Robert Helms, PWA Holiday Charities. Right.
Holiday Charities?
PWA Holiday Charities, the producer of the Boy of Montrose contest. We do have a new Boy of Montrose. Boy Casey is our new Boy of Montrose for 2007-2008. And Robert Helms had to leave, so we're going to pull Gigi in here with the Radical Fairies, and we're going to get her in on this. Him on it. Him, her.
We had this kind of discussion on the first segment. What,
yeah, Gigi,
what pronoun will you answer to, Gigi?
I refer to Gigi. I think of Gigi as a her. So, and if I get mad, then Gigi's an it, because Gigi is a hermaphrodite and Gigi is both, so.
Yeah. And Gigi will answer to anything as long as you call her.
And 976-GIGI. So, Gigi, you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Thank you. I'm sorry that we're stepping in on your time, but we decided to get you in here and have some fun with you, too.
Oh, yes.
Buzz, back to your book.
Yes.
You have, I see, bookmarked a passage. Which passage would you like to share with us to give us an idea of what this book is like?
Well, the passage that I've selected is... Oh, I should probably put on my glasses.
For us, it's a wonder you can drive.
Yeah, yeah.
Write a song about it, wanna hear.
This is a passage when our main character is actually in a cell that has no windows and no light. It's absolutely pitch black. And he's in... This is about... Well, this is page 119.
About halfway through the first book.
Mm-hmm. Shall I just begin?
Please.
My eyes opened, and I was back in my cell, awake. The lights had gone out, and I was in darkness again. I laid there and listened to the silence of it, and with my eyes open, saw nothing. Suddenly, I could hear breathing that was not my own. Matthew? I half whispered. Yes, Michael, Matthew's voice returned in the dark. I quickly got to my feet next to the cot and stood with my hands behind my back. Sit down, Michael. Yes, Matthew. Thank you, Matthew. I'm ordered to tell you that Sir is pleased with your progress. Thank you, Matthew. Do you have a question ready for me, Michael? He asked. I have hundreds of questions, Matthew. Hundreds. I can only grant you one, Michael. Make it count. So many things I wanted to know. I knew that even Matthew wouldn't be able to answer all of the questions I had, but I also knew that there was one that he had to have the answer to. I wanted to know who that man in the hood was, who had been ordered to violate me. Matthew? Yes, Michael. Have you decided on your question? Yes, Matthew, I began. Who is the man in the hood? I cannot tell you his name, Michael. It is forbidden for anyone to tell you his name, but I can tell you who he is here, if you think that will help you. Please, Matthew, I begged, anything. There was a pause, and I thought that Matthew might be trying to find the words to tell me what he could without violating his orders. Finally, Matthew's voice gently broke through the silence of the dark. He was the first to be granted his master's collar. He was Sir's first slave, and he was even Alpha for 2 years after Sir took Jeffrey in. He was Jeffrey's trainer, just as I am yours. He has served this house and Sir faithfully for many years. I cannot tell you any more than that, Michael. I hope it helps you. I want to know more, Matthew, I said, but I understand. Thank you, Matthew. I could hear Matthew turn and head for the door of the cell, and I stopped him. Matthew? Yes, Michael? Everything is happening so fast, Matthew, I said. I don't know who or what I am anymore. That is as it should be, Michael, Matthew said. Your identity as property of this house depends on your letting go of any idea of another life. As you adjust to your life here, your new identity will become entwined with this house and will be clear. Try not to struggle against the change. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Buzz. That was good.
Oh, yeah.
It's... The story is about a journey. A young man's journey from innocence into a life that he had absolutely no concept could even exist. And his adjustment to that. And finally, embracing it. And like I say, there's a lot of twists in this story that are... Twisted?
Understatement, but yeah. So, you have got your... This book has just been so successful and so incredible to read, and you've got so many people just ticked off and just aggravated with anticipation. The second book, I know you've got the second book finished. I believe you're still in the editing stages with the second book, or you just finished editing.
The second book is finished, edited, and ready for print. It's just... I don't want to go into too much detail. The first book is out of print because of a disagreement between myself and my publisher.
Mm-hmm.
I have seized the book back, and it will be re-released when I find or become the publisher who is going to produce the entire series. When that happens, Resurrection will be re-released, and the second book in the series, titled Lion's Share, will come out. 6 months after that will be the third book in the series, which does not as yet have a title. I won't title a work until it's finished. It's almost finished.
See, now you're lying to me, because you told me you're only like 5 or 6 chapters into it. Now you've already and now you just told me you're almost done with it. You cheater.
Let's see.
Cheater.
Resurrection
And you still haven't let me read one page of the third book.
Resurrection is 225 pages long. Lion's Share is approximately, well, it's close to 300 pages. Already, with what I have in the third book, we're looking at approximately 350 to 375 pages. It's getting longer. And I'm looking at that. I know where the story is supposed to go. I know where I want it to end. I know where it's indicating that it's going to end, but the story has been a guessing game all along.
Okay, do you find when you are writing the book, you, I know a lot of people write books. I've done the same with the books I've written. You have this wonderful little outline of how you want the story to go, and the minute you start writing, by the second chapter, it just takes a life of its own and goes off in its own direction. Your outline of events, to be damned, it's going to do what it's going to do. Do you find when you write that it just comes out and takes a life of its own and takes you in a whole new direction from where you were thinking it was going to go?
I was really fortunate with Michael's story in that I never had an outline. It wasn't supposed to be more than a short story.
Right.
So I never sat down and wrote an outline. I still don't have an outline.
For the second book, you never had an outline.
No.
Third book, you didn't do an outline.
No.
You just let it flow.
The story jumped up, took on a life of its own, and ran away, dragging me along by the keyboard. It's still running, and I'm still chasing it.
I like that. You're chasing the story.
I have to. It got way ahead of me. I have to, like, go back and read several chapters and then put my hands on the keyboard and just wait as the story goes further, and I'm just chasing it. I know where it's going.
Okay, so let's say you read a couple chapters, you sit down, you write some more, then you just stop, you go back, you start a couple chapters back, then follow through to what you've written the last time, and see if it jives, where it goes from there.
No, by the time I finish reading that, my hands are on the keyboard, and I don't stop until I've written at least three more chapters. It happens that fast.
Okay, let's talk about the basis for these characters. Where did they come from? I mean, Michael. Where do these characters come from? Are they based on real people, an amalgam, or a combination of different people in your life, part you, life experiences from who, where? Where are these characters coming from?
I know where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not the only one that asks.
No, you're not.
So many people ask, okay, was this based on what happened to you when you came into the leather world?
The most common question I get is this an autobiography?
This I know is not true. It's not. But where are these characters come from? Where in your head, in your life, did these people come from?
For the listeners, I want you to understand that this book has absolutely nothing to do with leather as a culture. I'm a leather man. I embrace leather as a culture. This book is not my view of leather as a culture. As a matter of fact, it is completely separate. There are similarities, but this is not leather. This is a life. How do I explain this?
Journey of discovery for
these characters.
It's a
journey of discovery. There's very little leather. There is some SM in it. There's brutal and bloody torture. There is a dominant submissive relationship that is very powerful and very strong in this, but it has absolutely nothing to do with leather. This is about the journey into the soul. And you will walk with Michael. As you read this book, you will walk with him. Your soul will become his. His will become yours. And you will take this journey with him. And it will drag you through the entire gamut of the human emotion. It's difficult to describe. It is very brutal, both emotionally and physically. And part of the brutality of it is that it drags you into what it means to really love. That's what Michael is teaching me in just writing this story. And who are the characters?
You beautifully evaded the question. There's a great answer, but you beautifully evaded.
I should run for president.
No, please. no.
I wouldn't want the job.
But, I mean, again, incredible answer, but where do these characters come from? Do you have any basis on people you know, past experiences? Is this purely something fictional that you had a dream about, and this was just a character or a persona that popped in your head?
I can say with absolute surety, and actually kind of quoting or paraphrasing other authors, no author can write from whence he knows nothing.
Right.
So, yes, all of the feelings and the emotional journey of this, I can feel this as I'm writing it. The characters themselves are not necessarily people I have known, but a conglomeration of different things that belong to different people.
Different characteristics of people that you create or combine, put in a blender, and create this one character or that character.
It might surprise you to know that there are a couple of characters that I've borrowed some of your characteristics from.
Yeah, I recognize that. Thank you. Yeah, I did recognize that. You bastard.
People who have been important to me from time immemorial have become part of this story. Their names aren't there, and their entire personalities aren't there, but each of these characters,
aspects of
each of these characters will be recognizable to you in that you will know somebody who was just like that. But not necessarily one person, but you'll see these characteristics in several of the people that you know. And it's because none of us is one person. It's hard to describe that we are so many facets as humans that each and every person represents several different things to us depending on what it is our need from them is. So all of these characters are conglomerations, and yet they appear as individual characters and they become recognizable. And you learn to rely, not necessarily so much in Resurrection, but as the story progresses, you learn to rely on them to be the people that you've met.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
And understand, because it's written in first person singular, anything Michael does not see, does not hear, and does not feel, neither will you.
Because finds out about it.
There are no segments in it where you hear about side conversations that Michael doesn't hear and that Michael is not part of. You're seeing it and experiencing it through him. So
it's not a narrative.
No, it's
it
not.
It is a first-person
exactly
account.
And I've read books that were first person singular where you always get the side notes.
Yeah, you always get the author interjecting some little bits and pieces.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Right.
There is none of that.
There is no meanwhile back at the ranch here. Meanwhile back at the dungeon.
Right. And there really is a dungeon in this.
Oh yeah.
But it's a dungeon. Michael is taken from his above ground sunny life down into a dungeon, symbolically, basically portraying his sinking into his deepest self. And by the time he comes up from that dungeon, is learning to accept the very base of his nature and turn it over to someone else that he trusts. And how he learns to trust them, you're going to have to read the book to find out.
Well, yeah, that's the good stuff. That's the whole point of the story. Good evening, Gigi.
Hi, Gigi.
How are you doing, dear?
Doing good. A little tired. I've been remodeling in my house.
Kirby, go to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has been quite a job. I've totally gutted our bathroom.
That could be messy.
I'm not going to say a word.
Actually, we're...
Plumbing is confusing enough.
Wait a minute, we're
especially
talking to Gigi here.
Especially with this one, yeah. If your plumbing's confusing enough, don't tell me. Okay, I want a bidet. What is a bidet? It's a shower shot you sit on.
Yeah.
Hello. It washes the backside. If you lean forward, it does the front, too.
No, it's a water fountain. Splash some fresh water on your face, yes, babe.
Wrong face.
Well, Gigi, before we go any further with your bathroom. Buzz Lawson, author of Resurrection, thank you for being here.
Again, thank you for having me.
For the listeners, if you have not read this book, you definitely need to read this book. This book will screw with your head, open your eyes, give you nightmares, and make you beg for the next book, because I'm doing that.
Ah.
So please, get this book. It's absolutely an an incredible read. It's an incredible insight into the human psyche and into the human soul. It just happens to take place in the world we live in. Well, a fantasy version of the world we live in, because...
And again, Black Hawk Leather...
Snuff films are illegal.
Black Hawk Leather, as far as I know, still has a few copies left.
If you can't get it at Black Hawk, go to Amazon.com.
We just found out, due to the friend sitting here with the laptop, that Amazon.com has only two copies left.
Oh, wow.
Well, and they're all gone, because it's out of print. If you want a copy of this book, find me. You can always find me if you go to www.louieweekend.com.
Click on the Nomads homepage and just contact the webmaster and shoot him an email, because
I want a copy of Resurrection.
He's a member of the Houston Nomads. You can always contact him through the Houston Nomads website. So thank you again for being here.
Thank you again.
And get that second book out quick, because I'm tired of waiting.
You already have the manuscript.
I don't want the manuscript. I want a signed book.
Well, you're doing the cover.
Well,
oh, by the way, our host here, Robert Tichy, is also the artist who did the cover of Resurrection, and will be doing the covers for the entire series.
Apparently I will, won't I?
Of course you will. I just said it on the radio.
Yeah, that makes it true. Isn't that right, Jimmy?
That's my reality.
Yeah, if you got it on tape, then it's real, right? Yeah, I saw Farscape. It's not real.
The cover of Resurrection is a little frightening, and honestly, the image on the cover is directly out of the story.
Yes, and... There is a scene in the book that, if you look at the cover art that I did for the first book, Resurrection, it is literally an exact duplicate of a scene.
You'll read that and
it's an exact
look
realization
at the cover again.
Of that scene, and the minute you read it, you will shut the book closed and go, oh, good Lord, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
to describe for the listeners what it looks like, it is a fist holding a chain slave collar with a brass lock dripping blood against a black background. It's an extreme image, and it is an image directly out of the story. This book is not for the shy.
No. And yeah, it will give you some really cool, incredible nightmares. Speaking of nightmares, let's go back to Gigi's toilet. So you're remodeling your bathroom.
Oh, yes.
Now, are you going to do a clawfoot tub? Or?
No, actually, what happened was we had a leaky roof, and then we had termites get into the walls. And so I've had to pull out everything, replace some studs in the walls, and then we're retiling everything, putting in.
Isn't that just the thing about studs? Every now and then they have to be replaced.
I know it.
I'm not going to say a word. I thought that's what, like, Viagra, or what is that, Cialis, or whatever it was.
Hey, even studs get old.
Yes, well, like I said, Viagra, Cialis, what?
Hell, I did.
Levitra. What's the one that if you have a hard-on for more than 4 hours, you're going to die or something?
That's Cialis.
Is that or is that
Levitra.
That's part of Cialis' line.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but if you got a hard-on for 4 hours and you die, you died happy. Shut up. Oh. Stop complaining, all right?
Well, it will be an open casket.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no. You won't be able to shut it.
No, it won't be an open casket. It'll be a casket with a cloth cover.
It'll look like a Conestoga wagon.
Well, the thing with this, Gigi
it'll be a boot camp.
Gigi is the most androgynous person I have ever met.
Yeah.
And I've also seen Gigi in action, and Gigi can do all of this, replace the studs and do the tile work and all of this kind of stuff.
I'm good with power tools, baby.
Okay, we're not talking about a dungeon thing.
Gigi can use a snap-on and then a strap-on.
Power tools have nothing to do with
testosterone.
I'm not
saying a word, but I've seen Gigi use a strap-on and Gigi's self at the same time.
If a power tool doesn't work, all you have to do is turn it upside down.
Try replacing the batteries. Go to bed, Kirby.
Yeah. That was directed at you.
And I even have a few types of power tools that work in the penis.
No, I've seen
I've seen some of those. I used to sell those.
Some of your toys that you have invented are just downright evil fun.
Oh, yeah.
They're really good. Like that. Oh, that. We can't talk about it on the air because.
Yes, well, how about the vibrating sounds? That's a power tool.
Huh?
Yeah, the that's what I was referring to.
A vibrating sound. That's not a power tool. That's just good morning. You know? That's the best way to wake up in the morning is a vibrating sound.
Hey, it's got power. It's a tool.
It only takes one AAA battery.
And you wake up sounding like Homer Simpson.
Donuts.
I remember seeing one time on HBO, they had one of their sex shows. They were showing gadgets.
Real sex.
Yes. The real sex. And basically, they took a reciprocating saw and put a dildo on the end of it.
They actually, what he tried to do was he tried to create that as a museum piece, as a piece of modern art, and try to sell it to the museums as modern art. None of them would go for it, so he turned around and opened up his own business. They call it buttmachine.com or something like that.
Well,
he sells the living hell out of it. He's got like 20 designs now, and it's like, this was supposed to be a piece of modern art, and now you turned it into a...
They had one Adventure Inn.
Only in America, you know?
They had one Adventure Inn upstairs.
Well, have you seen my...
Not saying a word.
Latest creation?
No.
What? I've made a new toy.
Did you bring it?
No, I didn't bring it.
But I'll bring it next time. Well, then don't tease us. Damn.
So what's the new toy?
That's kind of a combination of a leather parachute upside down and a ball stretcher.
Yes, you've told me about this. You still haven't shown it to me, though.
The parachute's connected to a bunch of leather strands connected to a ring. You put the ball stretcher on, start twisting the ring, the parachute comes up.
Nah. Nasty.
I'd want to put lead weights in the parachute.
No, it works in reverse. It comes up and squeezes everything.
It's like a vise.
Oh.
He's reversed it as a vise. Yes. So instead of a parachute to pull down, it's clamping.
Oh, kind of like the stainless steel bars.
Squishy.
With the wing nuts.
Yes.
Yeah, except this is all leather.
Yes.
Except for the metal ring.
You told me about this.
Will you demonstrate this at Louis next year?
Sure, I'll demonstrate it at Louis.
Yeah, I can't wait for the show of shows next year. Yeah.
I think I'm going to be on stage at that moment.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I've got to be backstage doing, something. Yeah.
Fetching water. Yeah, that's it.
But, yes, every once in a while, I just get this vision of a new toy in my head, and I've got to make it, you know.
Yeah, but you're really good at making stuff like that.
Yeah.
You come up with some of the most demented designs I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You really need
leather outfit that you had for last
week. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a cool outfit. That was very true.
Thank you.
You scared a lot of people with that. That was so cool. You scared so many
people. I've got a story to tell you. I went to a pagan gathering. I wore that outfit and went to the revels fire.
Ooh.
People were running for the woods.
Not quite as pagan as they thought they were.
They weren't pagan, they were vegan.
We have lights going.
I scared all the poor Bubba pagans to death.
Okay.
Poor Bubba pagans were like...
Wait. Did you just call them Bubba pagans?
Yes, we have Bubba pagans.
Bubba pagans.
They go, hold my beer and watch this, and they do something really stupid.
Those aren't even pagans. Those are just Bubbas, okay? That's double-wide Bubba.
No, they're pagan, though.
We've got a caller.
Okay, caller.
Who wishes to have a rebuttal? I think you know him.
For whom?
You're on the air.
Sir.
Hello.
Hello, hi, Kirby. Sir.
Hey.
Why are you not asleep?
Well, because I just... They didn't really explain the whole power tool thing.
Okay, that's what I wanted to say was... Kirby was at work one day, and he was...
No, let me talk. Let me tell it, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
It was my stupidity. Let me tell it. Okay, first of all, I know nothing about power tools. The only kind of power tools I know are like hammers and like manual screwdrivers.
Those aren't power tools, dear.
Well,
that's not even the definition of a power tool.
To me, they are.
Those are manual tools. Manual
my power. My boss gives me a project to take apart a bookshelf, and he tells me to take these screws out. Well, I put the screwdriver on there, and it's like got battery pack
on it. Everybody,
like,
keep in mind he's using a drill gun.
With a screwdriver bit.
He's using, yeah, Black & Decker.
Whatever.
Yeah, what you said.
So, I'm like pulling the trigger, and it's turning and turning and turning, and nothing's happening, and
stripping
I said, well,
the screw.
Yeah. I said, oh, Brian, it's not working. And he says, well, reverse it. So I turn it upside down because, in my mind, that's how I thought I was supposed to reverse it.
And it still wouldn't work, damn it.
Right.
So we had to go over...
That's the whole power tool explanation.
Yeah, and so we had to go and explain to him that the little lever there, if you push it this way, it screws, and if you push it the other way, it unscrews. And he thought, well, if I just take the power tool and turn it upside down, it's in reverse, right? And it's like,
well, that's what I thought. I'm not really a blonde. I just play one on TV.
Never send a boy to do a lesbian's job.
Thank you, Chris.
By the way, hi, Gigi.
Hello.
Kirby, go to bed.
Well, Kirby, I can help you with power tools.
That's what masters are for.
Yep.
Good night, everybody.
You're
going
to find that out.
Good night, Kirby. Now go to bed.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Oh, he's never going to live that one down.
Oh, hell no.
So you've gutted your entire bathroom.
Yes.
To make room for all of the toys and inventions you've made.
Yes.
Good. So instead of a bathtub, you're just going to put up shelves, or is the tub going to be a play space now?
It's always been a play space. It's going to be a better play space.
Ooh, good.
A bathroom, bedroom, play space.
Hey, what's better than a tub built in? Yellow. Hey,
hello.
I wrote the song.
Anybody need a shower?
Ooh. Oh, was that Jimmy that just went, ooh.
Ooh, daddy, I'm thirsty.
Oh, my gosh. Excuse me. I've got to go away, salute.
Jimmy's ready for you in the other room.
Oh, yes. I just hook up a hose. How's that? What am I saying? It is a hose here.
We'll run a line.
But anyway, I am going to be moving to the first Saturday of the month.
Yes.
Next month. So I did want to let people know.
Yep.
And
Binet will be moving to the second.
Yes, we're trading out. So, and I was going to do a piece tonight, but we ran short on time.
Yeah, we kind of do that around here.
Yeah. So I'm going to save it for next time, but I'm going to be doing a thing on how to create a sex-positive environment.
Wonderful. That's going to be the first Saturday of the month, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the next show is going to be on that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the first Saturday.
And that's the first Saturday of the month, huh?
Yeah.
But that's very important because I think so many of us come into sex with shame and guilt.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so hard to get rid of that.
Well, mm-hmm.
Shame and guilt, what are those?
Those are two of the three Pointer Sisters.
I thought they were Spice Girls.
No, they're Backstreet Boys.
Hello.
Yeah, that's more like it.
Well, listen, everybody, thank you for Leather Ties.
Oh,
thank you,
yes.
Jimmy. Thank you, Chris.
And
I
thank
to turn
you for
this
your
over.
Indulgence for going on later.
It was worth it to get the message out there and to get the truth out there. And we need to do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say in closing, I'm going to turn this over to Gigi and let Gigi have some time. I'm sorry we ran over.
Oh, it's okay. No problem.
But
I've been on Thank after hours patience. For so many years. I'm used to this.
Yeah. She's used to the way we operate around.
But from... I know how after hours works.
Yes, for all of us at Love Your Ties. Thank you so much.
There's been times when after hours has said, oh, you can have the whole show.
Oh, yeah. So that's happened to me. So, yeah, it's fun. Sometimes we run short, sometimes we run long, and that's what makes it interesting.
Oh, yeah, we've done, you know, kind of like phone-ins from bi conferences and things like that.
Bi conferences?
Yeah.
Yeah, bisexual conferences.
Okay, I was going to make a flippant comment about bisexual, but it really was, so never mind. I thought you were thinking like bi-coastal.
We did
something.
A live show from Vancouver and one from
And last month you had your on-air interview, your caller. She was from what, New York?
No, she was from Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, love you. I'm giving this over to you.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, everybody. Everybody, we'll see you next month on Leather Ties. Second Saturday of the month.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, honey.
And so now, I guess we'll go to round table.
Yeah, sure.
All right, well, let me throw in a little bit of music before we...
All right.
Yeah, why don't we do music? Yeah.
Works for me.
Well, since we talked about the CD so much...
What? So which one are we doing?
Oh, what, of course, one you're always going to play.
His favorite.
Playing Red. Jimmy's Red. Actually, you know, we ought to play Orange. Since you like Red and Yellow so much, we'll play Orange.
That's a good one, too.
Here we go. 1 little 2 little 3 little fingers. 4 little 5 little stretchy fingers.
Kick back, relax. Spread your thighs. I'm gonna take you on a fantastic ride. Bracing ankles, loosely bound. Laying in a sling, you know you're heaven bound. I grease you up with a rough loving hand. I'm gonna take you to the promised land. Rock and swing in a chair. Oh, Daddy, please take me there. Please take me there. Yeah, I'll take you there. Deeper and deeper, I push and twist. You feel my knuckles now, swallow my wrist. You cast pleasure with each thrust and turn. You need fulfillment from. Yeah.
Coop 65 with Red.
Coop 65.
That's what he says. He says in Germany.
Yes.
That's right. Robert Teach and David Hasselhoff, both big in Germany. Don't see anything back in here.
He's still on the back porch smoking.
Don't worry, I've got 8 seconds till he hears it.
Okay. Oh, yes, our famous. We now have an 8-second delay.
Yay.
Really?
Wow.
Let's see, it's time for the round table. Who have we got in there?
Got Virgin here.
David Hasselhoff. Oops. Derek compared me to David Hasselhoff.
I haven't got bigger boobs.
I'm writing a song about you. I'm not going to be nice. David Hasselhoff. Oops.
I think we need a longer delay.
Yes, we do.
I got a feeling at the HCC meeting on Wednesday is going to be here.
So wait a minute now. We've got Virgin in there.
Yeah.
Merlin.
Jose.
Johnny.
Hey, Johnny.
And Gigi.
Yeah.
And can I push the button?
Ooh.
They haven't taught me how to push. I don't even know how it works. Actually, I hit it once accidentally and then watched the countdown. I go, I don't know what the hell's doing.
What are these numbers? What do you got for us tonight, Chris?
Oh, you know, I've got interesting little stories here. I'm still looking through some of the stuff. One story that's going to come out here is out of Arlington. The Arlington Church volunteered to host a funeral on Thursday, but then reneged on its invitation when it became clear the dead man's homosexuality would be identified in the service. The event placed High Point Church in the crosshairs of an issue that many conservative Christian organizations are discussing: how to take a hardline theological position on homosexuality while showing compassion towards gay people and their families. Mr. Sinclair died on Monday. He was a native of Fort Worth, a Navy veteran who served in Desert Storm, helping rescuers find downed pilots, and a singer in the Turtle Creek Chorale. He did not belong to the church. His brother Lee is an employee and member of High Point, a non-denominational mega congregation led by Reverend Gary Simmons, who is a brother-in-law of Joel Osteen. When Cecil Sinclair became ill with a heart condition 6 years ago, church members started praying for him out of love for his brother, Mr. Simmons said on Thursday. When Mr. Sinclair died of an infection, a side effect of surgery intended to keep him alive long enough for a heart transplant, a member of the church staff was immediately sent to minister to the family. Both the family and church officials agreed that the church volunteered to host a memorial service, feed 100 guests, and create a multimedia presentation of photos from Mr. Sinclair's life. But the photos the family selected alerted church officials that there may be a problem with the service. Some of the photos had very strong homosexual images of kissing and hugging. My ministry associates were taken aback. They said when the family asked to have its own people officiate the service, we had no control over the format of the memorial. Family and friends discovered the church had withdrawn its invitation Wednesday evening when Lee Sinclair called to tell his mother. She said, Ms. Bauer said that her oldest son is developmentally disabled and is with hearing and vision problems. No one from the church called her or Mr. Sinclair's partner to discuss the possible changes to the service. We could have reached a compromise, but that was never attempted. So it kind of goes on.
Yeah, it does go on.
It goes on and on. But an interesting thing where a church suddenly discovered that a person they were going to hold a service for was gay, and they...
And it wasn't that he was gay. It was that in the memorial service, they were going to show positive images of gay life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they objected to.
Well, I think it was just the fact they were showing it. You know, that it was going to be mentioned in there by showing pictures of men hugging and kissing. Oh, yeah, that's
so much for Christian love
blasphemy.
And charity.
Yeah, well. Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I went to a Catholic university, and as soon as I got my catechism, I flipped back to the section on homosexuality, and it clearly states that it condemns the act, but it does not condemn the person.
And actually, that's a misnomer.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean,
well, that's how they interpret it, saying, you know, it's hate the sin, love the sinner.
So you can be gay, but you just can't have sex.
You can't be a practicing homosexual. Fortunately, I think we're all at the expert level here.
Yeah. Well, actually, before my parents even knew I was bisexual, they had the bishop come and perform exorcism on me.
Mm-hmm. No,
obviously it didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've had quite an experience with religion in your life.
Oh, yeah. My father was a minister, so.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Well, we
might get an old time religion. What are you
He tried to make me into a real man.
You are a real man.
And a real woman.
And a real woman.
Okay.
You know, all three of my uncles are Jesuit priests, and I never heard this kind of garbage out of them.
I think because they're probably a little bit more compassionate than these so-called Christian or non-denominational churches. Obviously, they're not going to be, you know... Obviously, they think they have the power to decide who goes and who stays, and it's like, you know what? It doesn't work that way.
Well, you know, there are non-denominational churches, and there are non-denominational churches. RMCC is a non-denominational church.
But they're geared more toward the community, whereas this mega congregation church obviously doesn't give, you know... two squats about it, you know, I mean...
And GGJ's church is that way, too.
Yeah.
And what church is that?
It's United Church of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that, she's been on the air talking about...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They openly ordain gay ministers, all kinds of stuff. They're pretty cool, and they put out an open and affirming statement.
Did that change your mind about religion? Gigi?
Nah. I'm still pagan.
Okay.
You're a recovering Christian.
Well, no, not even that. I never really quite was Christian. My father made me be an acolyte. And I said, okay, I'll do it if you let me have my own acolyte robe.
Mm-hmm.
So I sewed in a secret inner pocket. Big enough to hold a bottle of communion wine. And I got a siphon, you know, one of those gas siphons?
Yeah.
And pinned one to my collar, and I just put my hands together and bow down and take a few hits. And by the end of the service, everyone would comment on how I was glowing.
Because maybe you were drunk.
What else you got for us?
And I also knew how to pick the lock to the communion cabinet.
Well, I know I got laid last week, though. That's why I was not here. I had to throw that in there, you know. In case you're no longer your virgin, you're slut.
So how much did you pay for
laid?
It?
Yes, I did.
Virgin got laid.
Yes, I did.
Why didn't we have a plague of frogs and the rivers turned red?
Freaking God.
Yes, he was 20. Okay.
Well, at least he's an age.
All right, where do we go from here? We've got psychiatric.
So many places you could go from here.
Okay, we've got...
We still have 15 minutes if people want to call.
I got my nipple pierced too.
Would you shut up?
Okay.
And I'm a virgin.
Drains here because we can control you.
Okay, here we go. Here are the topics we can go with. We've got psychiatrist, Catholic priest.
Catholic priest.
Hold on. Here are your options. Like I said, psychiatrist, Catholic priest, Republican, transgendered, gay Nigerians. Fetish Con and NAMBLA.
Oh, boy.
NAMBLA.
No.
Let's go.
We can always go. No.
We're going to go there anyway. It just depends on the order. We're going to
get there eventually.
Let's just start from the... since we're talking religion, let's go to the Catholic priest story.
Okay. Yay.
All right.
Out of the cloth, perspiring priest caught jogging nude.
Oh, yes, I've heard about that.
A Catholic priest faces an indecent exposure charge after police said he went jogging in the nude about an hour before sunrise.
Too much of that communion wine.
The Reverend Robert Whipke told officers he had been running naked at the high school track and didn't think anyone would be around at that time of the day. He said, told the officers he sweats profusely if he wears clothing while jogging. I know what I did was wrong. The Reverend did not return phone messages. His attorney said he had no comment. Whipke, 53, was arrested June 22nd.
Talk about your California raisins.
In Weld County Town, about 20 miles north of Denver.
And you did say high school track, didn't you?
Yes, a high school track.
That's what I thought.
An officer saw a naked man walking down the street at 4:35. Now, this is how precise this article was getting to try and nail this priest. The U.S. Naval Observatory website said that sunrise that day in Frederick was 5:31. An officer said when he shined a flashlight at the man, he covered himself with a piece of clothing he was carrying. The Archdiocese of Denver says it takes the incident seriously, but is waiting the outcome of the case. He still remains an active priest. If convicted of indecent exposure, a misdemeanor, he would have to register as a sex offender.
Oh, please.
What the hell? Why?
Because it was indecent exposure.
Yeah. He didn't.
It's a sex crime.
I suppose.
There was nobody. Nobody was there, though.
Is it indecent exposure if nobody sees it?
Like if a tree falls in a mile in the forest, does anyone really care?
The cop did cost.
Can the church defrock somebody who's not actually wearing his frock?
I was just about to ask that.
Next.
Peninsula psychiatrist will face molestation trial.
Oh, okay.
A judge ruled on Tuesday that a prominent child psychiatrist should stand trial for molesting 7 of his former patients, calling the evidence against him quite strong. Dr. Ayers has pled not guilty to 21 counts of lewd and lascivious behavior on a child under 14.
Oh, Lord.
In the ruling, the judge reduced the accounts, saying one alleged victim claimed he was touched inappropriately once, not twice. Two San Mateo police investigators who interviewed dozens of Ayers' former patients and alleged victims testified about a pattern of abuse that Ayers portrayed as routine physical examinations in his office. At least 11 men, young boys at the time, described Ayers' inappropriate touching of their genitals.
Cough.
One boy who was 10 or 11 in the mid-90s was a patient, told investigators that he was masturbated while naked at least 3 times by the doctor. He thought it was normal because he was a doctor.
What kind of doctor was he?
A psychiatrist.
That's what I thought.
He was working on the wrong head.
Exactly.
The doctor told him, they won't believe you because I'm a doctor. They won't believe a troubled teenager.
Oh, brother.
He said about another one of is what he supposedly told another one of the...
That's horrible.
So he was victimizing a specific group, hoping that they wouldn't...
Don't say anything.
Anyone would believe, hoping that no one would believe these kids because they were troubled.
Because they were, seeing a psychiatrist.
That is sick.
That really is sick.
That is sick.
Well, he's been practicing for 40 years. And suspicions have been coming since 2003 when a former patient sued him, accusing him of molestation back in the 70s.
Oh, my God.
This is a person who is trusted.
Wow.
To listen to your problems and help cure you, not give you more problems. This is ridiculous.
He's also the former president of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry.
My God. It gets better.
God.
How many people has he screwed up?
Yes.
Is he hoping for a repeat business?
You gotta love those people who make their own business.
What are you looking at me for?
Republican time. This is out of
somewhere.
This is the Clark County Republican Party in Indiana. The chairman of the Clark County Republican Party, who last month was elected president of the Young Republicans National Federation, has resigned both of his posts, apparently in the wake of a criminal investigation.
Whoops.
On Tuesday afternoon, Glenn Murphy Jr. emailed media outlets in a letter announcing his resignation from both positions, citing an unexpected business opportunity that would prohibit him from holding a partisan political job.
stripper.
However, the Clark County Sheriff's Department on Friday began investigating Murphy for alleged criminal deviant conduct.
Oh, boy.
Potentially a Class B felony.
Prostitution.
After speaking with a 22-year-old man who claimed that on July 31st, Murphy performed an unwanted sex act on him while the man slept in a relative's Jefferson home.
What? How can you sleep through that?
He's been really bad. He didn't say he was sleeping. He said it was unwanted. Okay, excuse me.
Okay, how do you know?
Gay man or straight man? A blowjob is always accepted.
Yes, it is.
A blowjob is like Visa. It's taken everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Wait till you see that on their priceless commercial. Blowjob, $40. Cunnilingus, $65. Getting off with a close friend, priceless. I want a cut of that action. Murphy, a 33-year-old Utica resident, has not been arrested nor has been charged with a crime. A copy of the police report has been posted on a politically focused internet site, and another was provided to the reporter with the evening news.
Well, it's public record.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is a nice thing, though. He is contending that the sex act was consensual.
Okay, if he's asleep, how the hell is it consensual?
No, he didn't say he was asleep, though.
No, the guy claims he was asleep at the time.
Oh.
How do you sleep through a blowjob? Jimmy, probably doesn't do blowjobs like you do, honey, okay?
I've slept through hurricanes, but that...
That must have been a really lousy
blowjob.
That's what I'm
But wait, there's more.
Oh.
In 1998, a 21-year-old male filed a similar report with the Clarksville police claiming Murphy attempted to perform a sex act on him while he was sleeping.
But he won't.
What is this with the sleeping guy?
What the, you know, right?
Apparently, you know, this guy just doesn't know it takes maybe two roofies, not just one. You know, the guys are waking up too early. Either that or, you know, too much teeth.
That's bad manners. Ouch.
That's really bad.
Well, you know, at least, you know, he came out and he said it was he thought it was consensual sex, you know. At least one time you've got a Republican admitting for screwing someone over.
You know, I don't want to sound like I'm Republican bashing here.
But
if the donkey needs his ass spanked,
But for crying out loud, people. Why? You know, somebody on TV just the other day was making the point that that of all the huge scandals that have happened in Congress recently, the great majority of them, the lion's share, or in this case, the elephant's share, has been Republicans. The same people who stand on their soapboxes and rant about moral this and what is right and what people should and shouldn't do.
And then when they get off their soapbox, they bend over it.
They do.
Yeah, get off.
And now from the category that'll make us cringe, Builder loses nuts and bolts.
Yo!
Oh, this isn't going
to
be good.
I'm going to warn you that the language in here is British. So if you're not familiar with the BBC type language, get a translator. Building boss Howard Shelley carried out the ultimate DIY conversion by castrating himself so he could become a woman.
Oh, I heard about this.
The 42-year-old dad of two decided on the drastic move after being told he would have to wait 2 years for a sex change by the National Health Service.
Oh, my God.
He found a website which gave a step-by-step guide to the eye-watering surgery and then waited till wife Janet went out before setting to work with a kitchen knife in the loo.
Oh, you mean you haven't seen that do-it-yourself kits here in Montrose?
With the job done, he wrapped the severed appendages in cloth and dropped them in a bin. Okay, for translation, he took a kitchen knife to the bathroom, cut off his nuts, and threw them in the trash can.
Oh, my.
I understood what you said.
Then he drove 5 miles to his local doctor, explained what he had done, and was packed off for treatment at the Stoke Mandeville Hospital. Amazingly, 3 days later, he was back at his desk. Howard, who wants to be known as Holly, said, "It was very painful, but the moment I cut them off, I felt all woman."
It was I'm sure he did.
It was such a relief. I felt all my life I was trapped in a woman trapped in a man's body, and couldn't wait 2 years dressing and living as a female to get a sex change on the NHS.
I think my brain's now melting out my ears.
Howard has two sons and has split with his wife.
That's
a good one.
With a whole lot more than
his wife. Howard has now been referred to a gender change clinic as awaiting approval for funding to receive female growth hormones. He's saving up £5,000 for a full sex change operation in Thailand. I want breasts and hips. Then I can be a real woman.
Thank God he didn't inject himself with silicone.
I believe that was what they would call put.
Okay, we're getting close here to the end, but I have to drop. I have to put this little part in here. The NAMBLA story.
Oh God!
A NAMBLA member had a bag filled with nude boy photos.
Whoops.
A member of the North American Man-Boy Love Association was arrested in Central Florida after a canvas bag of nude boy photos was found inside his vehicle. Investigators say Leland Stevenson was taken into custody at his home after the photos were found in the vehicle's trunk. NAMBLA is a group that advocates...
He's an old fart.
NAMBLA. NAMBLA is a group that advocates the legalization of sex between men and young boys. Stevenson was transported to the Marion County Jail on a $10,000 bond. My question is this. Did he either A, admit that he was a NAMBLA member? Do they issue membership cards?
Special little card in your back pocket.
Yeah. Here's your Sam's Club card. Here's your Boy Scout of America
got your
card.
Membership
here's
fee. Your
NAMBLA. Maybe they found the NAMBLA newsletter in his trunk or something.
Look for the NAMBLA label. That's
look
a curious
for the NAMBLA label.
I just found it curious that they're able to identify that this person is a NAMBLA member.
Maybe one of the officers is in the group with them.
Probably.
You knew the secret handshake?
Great team, Jimmy. I have to hire you to do my theme song.
At the top of the hour.
We want to thank those who called in. Their pledges of support. And click that off. Click that off.
KPFT.org.
KPFT.org. You can put in your pledge of support. In the last little bit, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
If you want to share any part of this show with anyone besides the FCC, please, not anyone but them. You can go to kpft.org and you'll find a copy of the show.
Yep.
Momentarily.
It's a wonderful organization they have going on here.
And so if you want to get in touch with us here on the show, it's afterhours@kpft.org. Or you can send us a snail mail letter at After Hours Care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Love, TT.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
We love to hear from you. News stories, articles, love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
And thank you, Tigger. We just didn't get a chance to get on with your letter, but
we'll get you next week, honey.
Don't get some pictures. We'll do nude radio again.
Ooh, yeah.
There we go.
All right.
It's time.
I got a camera for that one.
I got a camera phone.
All right. It's the top of the hour. It's time for Laura Palooza.
And she's here with that fantastic music that she brings you every other week.
Got a count. Full there, Mike.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.